You know, a lot of people, conservative people, say that gay people getting married, that would violate the sanctity of marriage. The sanctity of marriage. Is anybody here married? Yeah. Does it feel like a gift from God to you? Sanctity? The sanctity of marriage. First of all, what would Jesus do? Not get married, all right? That's the first thing. That's lesson number one. Because Jesus could have never accomplished the things he had to accomplish if he had been married. Let's face it. How long are you going to be up there? You know what I mean? Not only do I think gay people should be allowed to get married, I think they should have to get married because I'm a little tired of their happy-go-lucky lifestyles. They should have to suffer just like everybody else. I'm tired of walking by these sidewalk cafes. You see these dudes sitting there all tan and fit, you know. Some of these guys are 60 years old. They still look great because they don't have someone at home sucking the will to live right out of them. And look, if you had to be married, being married to a guy would be great. Could you imagine saying something and having the words you said interpreted exactly the way that you intended your words to be interpreted? Wouldn't that be a nice change of pace? Remember what you said 10 years ago when we were driving in the car on the way to my mother's house? No. Oh, me neither. I'm a dude. Shit, never mind. I was about to make up some horseshit story, but then I realized we're both dudes, so why torture each other with bullshit? We could just drive along in peace and have a good day, you know? Being married to a guy would be great, other than the taking in the ass part, which that would suck. That would suck. But it's a trade-off I might be willing to make, seriously. Seriously, I can't tell you how many times I've thought to myself, I would take a giant cock in the ass if you would just shut the fuck up for 1 second. Just one second. I would take a giant veiny cock for you to just shut your fucking trap just long enough for me to fucking feel like I don't want to kill myself. I would take a hot load right in the eye if you would just stop ruining my fucking life. Now, you know, I think maybe it's because I'm a romantic, you know what I mean? And I don't think you should tell people who they should find attractive.
What's poppin'? Oh, Greg Giraldo. Oh, so good to hear Greg Giraldo. I just wish I could hear him live right now. I wish he was sitting here as he did many times with us.
Yeah, I miss him.
Miss him like, I can't think of a comedian I miss more. Honestly, I love George Carlin, but I didn't know Greg. I didn't know George like I knew Greg.
Yeah.
And he was so likable.
So nice.
Aside from being just the funniest, smartest guy who for some reason couldn't reach that upper echelon. I think it's part of what made him great, honestly. Well, there's a book about Greg Giraldo, A Comedian's Story by Matt Ballacher, and we're going to talk to Matt about Greg Giraldo and his book. I hope a lot of people read about Greg. I hope it spurs people to listen to his comedy, which is just completely and utterly unique.
And topical.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah. Still funny.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of loud laughs during that opening piece here in the DealsInTheD.com studios, the sanctity of marriage. And we're live on Facebook. Nice shirt, Drew. Yeah, I've got my WLZ shirt on.
Yeah, looks good, man.
Thank you. And Trudy, did you play some good music today?
Yes.
What did you play? Anything? Did you play Bowie today?
No. Well, under pressure. So
you asked me
still
about
not
the,
crossed over.
You asked me about the man who sold the or man who fell to earth.
Oh, so man who sold the world. I played that by Nirvana.
Man who fell to earth. That's the name of the movie, isn't it? Or is it?
Wait, is it the man who sold?
Oh, what is wrong with me? Oh my god!
Yeah, the man who sold the world
is
was
yeah.
Bowie.
Yeah.
Sorry,
was Bowie performed by
Nirvana?
Nirvana.
The
and,
man who
and it was 33rd no, on that list.
It's that's the film, yeah.
The man who fell to earth.
Correct.
Yeah, that's done by the same band with Hey Guy, Nice Shot.
Filter.
Okay.
It's Amen Night.
It's all falling apart here.
Oh.
It was a joke that bombed. Sorry.
The new generation of classic rock, 106.7 WLLZ. Let's look at another hour.
Thank you.
Scott wants to know if I played anything off Heart-Shaped Box. Brief.
A little Bad Medicine from Bon Jovi, Alice in Chains, Man in the Box, Tom Petty, Refugee. Do you guys play a lot of Tom Petty tracks?
Yeah, we do. You do? Okay. A lot of different ones, too.
Tom Petty, I don't know, I almost think of him as sort of the 90s, 80s Beatles in a way.
Yeah.
Because he has so many tracks, and it seems like...
I think that'd be more New Kids on the Block. Yeah.
Would you say that to Tom Petty?
Ah, wow.
Sorry. Sorry. Not sorry.
Man.
Guns N' Roses, Sweet Child of Mine, Green Day, When I Come Around. Alice Cooper Under My Wheels, Linkin Park, In the End. What, did that drop sound low to other people besides me?
I had it low.
Oh, okay. Rolling Stones, Start Me Up, Pearl Jam, Better Man, AC/DC, It's a Long Way to the Top, Scorpions, No One Like You, WLZ, A
no
New Generation
like you. Yeah.
Of classic rock.
Yeah. And I had the studio all cranked up today, and somebody walked in, and they're like, well, you listen to it loud. And I'm like, man, you got to feel it, right?
I'm rocking. If you're not rock, what did Sabo
say? If Sabo said, if I'm not fucking, I'm rocking. If I'm not rocking, I'm fucking.
Yeah. And then Trudy goes, does it look like I'm fucking? No, so I'm rocking.
I don't think that's appropriate yet.
Too
early.
Hashtag too soon?
Yeah, too soon.
Cinco de Mayo is almost here. Mesa Tacos and Tequilas on Main Street celebrating Cinco de Mayo on Friday, the 3rd of May. Saturday, Cuatro de Mayo. And Sunday, Cinco de Mayo.
I don't speak Spanish.
Sorry. Between 3rd and 4th Street on Main and Royal Oak, and we've got the big screen, 35 feet, and also 150 tequilas and a 10% discount. Just mentioned Drew and Mike at Mesa Tacos and Tequila in Royal Oak. Get some great Mexican food. And we have an appearance for the show.
This is kind of
an emergency because some plans fell through, and all of a sudden it was like, who can we get to promote this? Some smart person said, well, what about that podcast? Well, yeah, we can talk about 420. And where would you want to celebrate 420 more than the Reef? For all your medical marijuana, oils and extracts, CBD products, edibles and topicals. Anybody here been to the Reef?
I have.
Brandon?
I've been to several dispensaries just to kind of, I don't know, see what they look like and stuff like that.
Research.
Inspecting.
Show prep.
And in my experience, I've seen some, I've walked in and I've been like, you know what? I don't think I should be here. And then there's ones.
A little rough?
Yeah, there has been some. But I have been to the Reef and it's very nice inside, very clean, great showroom. And the people there have been great.
Wow.
Oh. Yeah. Glad to hear that since they are an advertiser.
You did say this before they were an advertiser, so.
Yeah, I did.
For whatever that's worth.
Well, 420, celebrate April 20th. 420, Customer Appreciation Day with the biggest bash in Michigan. And not just Mark, not just Trudy, Mark and Trudy at the Reef. From noon to 2, helping the Reef give out TVs.
Oh, that is nice. That is nice.
Paraphernalia and store credit, plus iPads every 3 hours.
Whoa, what?
Yeah.
Wow.
If you have a credit card, well, I mean, we got Cinco de Mayo with Mesa, the Mexican food. Makes sense. Yeah. And we got giveaways on 420 from the Reef. Of course, 420, that's their holiday. That's the biggest day of the year there. If you have a card and mention the podcast, you'll get a free pre-roll.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean exactly?
Well, go and find
joint. A free joint.
I see.
It's all
it's already
up.
Rolled
it's,
for
it's
you.
Takeout.
It's pre-rolled.
Okay. But so rolling was kind of fun. But hey, not for everybody.
Nobody has time for that anymore.
You were adept at that, even with a left.
Oh, I was very adept in my day. I don't know if I could roll a really good one right now, but I think I could. Boy, you know, I used to take real pride in that too.
Sounds like a challenge.
It's really hard.
It does sound challenging. I think I'd like to roll one. The Reef is open 9 to 9, 7 days a week, and is on 8 Mile just east of Mount in Detroit. Can anybody else roll here?
Oh, no.
No.
Not for shit.
No. Trudy's wondering, why did I look at her son?
Brandon.
Oh, Brandon? We want to have a rolling challenge?
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm
in.
We could do that, couldn't we? Are we allowed to
have
a game?
I roll tobacco cigarettes.
Yeah. It's legal if you have a card.
I think it's rolling tobacco cigarettes. It's not anyway. The same thing because you don't have those little bumpy pieces of bud.
Oh, but you have to have a little like sort of a grinder.
Well, a grinder.
So it's nice and fine.
You know what's better than all this? Better than all this is a pre-roll.
Yes, a pre-roll, exactly, and that's what you get. If you have a card and mention the Drew and Mike podcast, you'll get a pre-roll at the Reef on 420, and that's on 8 Mound? Did I say 8 Mound?
Yes.
Yeah, just east. It's on 8 Mile, just east of Mound in Detroit. Visit findthereef.com, the biggest, the best. The Reef!
You know what? I don't want no hangover. I can't get no hangover.
It doesn't give you a hangover.
Well, I get addicted to it or something?
It's not habit forming.
I don't know. I don't want to overdose on it.
You can't OD on it.
It's not going to make me want to have sex, is it?
It makes sex even better.
Sounds kind of expensive.
It's the cheapest drug there is.
Tim Meadows.
Okay, we got a few minutes till.
I was reading a big article about Tim Meadows. You know he is back in Detroit living now?
What?
I didn't know he has a place in Lafayette Square, like a giant apartment, and he has season tickets to the Tigers game.
Oh, nice. My God.
His plan is to see every Tiger game this year.
We have to have him on.
That'd be fun to bump into him.
Yeah. Well,
he's on a show, isn't he?
He's got, I think, two shows. One's a streaming show on CBS.
Teacher or something, or principal?
Oh, yeah, I think that's the other show.
I think he's one of those really underrated SNL people.
He's great.
He's on a
the
long
ladies
time.
Man.
The ladies' man.
Always good.
Love that movie.
I love that, too. And, you know, a terribly reviewed movie.
I know.
Never got its props. It's funny as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Balicar on Greg Giraldo, the new book coming up. I was going to mention last night I was checking the listings on Axis, which has a lot of rocking stuff on there.
Yeah, great, great channel.
And they had the Imagine movie, which I've seen before, but of course, being the Lennon fan I am, I love watching it again. And they had Motley Crue the last show. And so I'm going, you know, I was never a big Motley fan. I was rereading the book because I saw The Dirt, the movie.
Yeah.
I was very amused by the movie. I know a lot of people, some people didn't like it. I think most people liked it, though.
I think so, yeah.
I know a lot of people are watching it over and having a ball with it. I thought it was great, and it got me interested in the book again, and so I saw this concert. I'm like, you know what, I don't think I ever went to a Motley Crue show. So I popped it on. I'm watching. I'm going, wow, I am starting to appreciate this band. Why am I 30 years late for Motley Crue? What's going on here?
You never been to a Crue show at all?
I've never been to a Crue show.
Man.
No, you know.
One.
Well, I'll tell you what. What's interesting about Crue is, you know, I love classic rock. I love the Beatles, the Stones, the British Invasion. Then I got into the whole punk new wave thing because I was in college radio. And those of us who were snobby about alternative, what became alternative rock, we were very dismissive of, you know,
hair bands. Yeah, right.
And I don't think I ever gave Motley Crue a chance, although I recognize how big they were. I never felt like the need to knock Motley Crue fans. It just wasn't my cup of tea.
It's the anniversary, by the way, of when Vince came to rehearsal and said, "Man, I just am not feeling it anymore. I'm going to go race cars." And they're like, "You're fired."
No, I quit.
92, yeah.
Well,
and,
you know,
he came back 5 years later.
I can tell you, reading
a rock and roll.
Well, I'll get to my Vince point in a minute, but the main point is, for the most part, I just heard the few tracks we played on Riff. Mm-hmm. Very few. You know, Girls, Girls, Girls. What else did we play? I mean, not much. Just a few tracks. Yeah, I mean, that's
Start
way
My Heart?
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
Home Sweet Home.
Home Sweet Home, absolutely. And the stuff I saw on MTV. And so I wasn't really exposed to a lot of Motley Crue music because they weren't in my wheelhouse. I was, you know, maybe a little older. If they'd been younger, probably would have. But anyway, I'm watching this concert on Access, and I was really enjoying it. I'm going, okay, Tommy Lee. We know Tommy Lee's a great drummer.
Yeah.
Nikki Sixx wrote music.
Oh,
he's
a
very intelligent guy. I mean, all you have to do is see an interview with him to know that. And then Mick Mars is a killer.
Oh, my God.
Guitar player. I feel like he is so underrated.
He really is.
And if you read the book, you really, you know, Mick's just sort of, he's always in the background, whether it's on stage because he's not moving much or he lives a more quiet lifestyle.
Yeah.
He was sort of the Ringo Starr of the band, in my eyes.
Yeah, but in the movie, the best. Really, the best.
Yeah, he was great in the movie.
I like how he drowned out Vince's insipid girlfriends at rehearsals. It was fun.
He is such a good player.
Yeah.
So anyway,
That last concert, is that the one where Larry King introduced him?
You know, I don't know if it was the last concert or a concert from the last. No, it was one of the last. It was the last show at the Staples Center.
When he introduced him as the Motley Crue.
I don't think I saw the introduction. I'm going to have to go back and look because I still have it and I didn't finish it. But I was really enjoying it. So, you know, hey, here's to the crew. And you know what else happened was they became so known for the ODs and Tommy punching people and Pam Anderson that I really lost. It was sort of like Michael Jackson when all the weirdness was happening with him. And then I saw This Is It and I'm like, hey, fucking guys, pretty good music.
Yeah.
I mean, really, that happens. Yeah. And
drama fatigue.
But it was fun watching. So I think
there's kids out there that love this stuff.
There are other bands like Motley Crue that I've gone back and reassessed, and I go, where was I? Why did I miss that? But anyway,
I was way late to the game with Rush. It took the documentary till I really got into Rush.
Yeah, I haven't gotten really into Rush, but I do appreciate Rush a lot more than I ever did. But the thing about rereading the Dirt, which has been a lot of fun, what a fun book that is to read, is I just can't get over Vince Neil. What a fucking prick he is. You know, he just goes right. This guy dies in his car. And, you know, the mistake I make is I always think, oh, my God, if that was me, I'd be fetal.
Yeah.
And then I would be, you know, I would be just into forced sobriety. I would never want to touch a drink again.
Right.
Not saying I never would, but anything can happen. But this guy's just like right back to partying.
Dennis. Hey, Captain. Hey, Vince Neil here. How's it going? Hey, Shelly. Hey. Vince Neil here. Hey, I heard it was your 10th anniversary. Hey, this is Vince Neil here, folks. Hey, everybody. Hey, Vince Neil here. Hey, Rob. This is Vince Neil from Motley Crue. Hey, Jay.
He sounds drunk in some of those, too.
I'm not trying to be totally judgy here, but when you read about, you know, Vince meets this Playboy model and he wants to bang her and she says, can I drive your car? And this is after Razzle. And they're bombed off their ass. And he's like, yeah, sure. So she tears off in his Ferrari. And plus he keeps all these fast cars. I mean, wouldn't you lose your appetite for...
Yeah.
Are you saying you don't feel there's enough depth to Vince?
Possibly that's where I'm going here. Anyway, she, of course, tears ass in the car, and she wrecks, and she almost kills him and her and somebody else. And what's Vince doing? You wrecked my Ferrari! oh, my God, I can't believe I'm drunk in a car again and letting a drunk person drive my car. But and then he's bombed off his ass, and he this is after that, I think, and he drives his Harley into his club. And crashes
driver.
It.
Yeah, this is just a couple of years ago, right?
No, that was a good while ago. I think it was in the 90s.
What kind of bite do you have?
He crashed his Harley into a table of people, you know, just, again, drunk off his ass. And I don't. And then he's into racing cars.
And now I can't fit in them.
How narcissistic, how, I don't know, it just, I don't know what the point is.
No, you're right. He
it's not new.
He lacks depth.
He does really lack a lot of depth.
He lacks compassion.
Yeah, it's
and
just
other.
He's not terribly empathetic.
It's very disappointing. And to this day, he's, you know, when Nick Cage is trying to pull him off this girl he wants to beat up in Las Vegas. Yeah. Oh my God.
Nick Cage was the stable.
That's your
peacemaker. Yeah. He was telling Vince he loved him.
God. He's your he loves everyone.
Ethic barometer, Nicolas Cage.
Wouldn't you love to have a Nick Cage cam
all the time?
Oh, yeah.
Like a week?
Oh, yeah.
Imagine the weirdness that would crop up there.
That's high praise.
Stop this shit now! Hey, my ring!
Looks like Cage is about to bite his nose off. Whoa.
That's high praise.
Nick Cage, for the fact that he's always kind of drunk and getting married to people.
Yeah, he's crazy.
He looks good, though.
He does look pretty good.
Yeah, he's always...
Put the hand to him.
Really,
yeah, you married to him?
It seems like he's trying to relive leaving Las Vegas. Is he trying to do that? Is he trying to make life a butterfly?
Dan on the Facebook Live wrote, what Vince lacks in depth, he has in width.
He is so fat. Oh, my God. Oh, he's huge. All right, got to get to our Geraldo author. But first, Trudy, you want to check? Dr. Roche has a new deal over there now. And we've been waiting. I'm waiting. Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Spring Sales Event. All the excitement is about this. You can lease a 19 Ram Bighorn 4x4.
I'm winning.
As low as $166 a month. You know, it's funny. When Magic left his Lakers job yesterday.
Oh, we got to talk about that.
All I could think about was Don Sterling.
Oh, yeah.
Big Magic Johnson.
Big Magic Johnson. What has he done?
They've also got loaded 19 Jeep Compass, as low as $198 a month. If you want to move the whole family around in total luxury, lease a new 19 Chrysler Pacifica, as low as $292 a month. Plus, last month's employee pricing for everyone was such a smashing success that Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram has decided to do it again. While supplies last, get employee pricing on all new 18 Jeep Wranglers in stock. Nobody else is doing that for you. See details and surf their massive inventory at dealsnadie.com. And Luke Nowacki came by today.
Really?
Yeah, I need to make a little retirement drop to lower my taxes, which seems so dumb to me. But what am I going to do? Not do it?
Taxes.
I know, taxes.
Oh, my God. It almost killed me.
What's the nightmare? You owe money?
Probably on top of having a couple of side action jobs.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you pay quarterly taxes at all?
Yes, twice.
Okay.
Well, so not, maybe I'm not in bad
it's
shape.
Not quarterly, but
and then providing.
Yeah, that would be bi-yearly.
Well,
the last two quarters you paid.
No, I
know what you mean.
There was an income from a source for a while.
Oh, cool.
Oh, you know who they are.
I think I know.
Were.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, anyway, so Luke was here, and we were talking about all the people that come in. And the part that amazed me was he referenced that, you know, you've got some listeners who have great jobs, but they're not doing anything with their money. Mm. They're not saving money. And so anyway, he's been helping a lot of people, and I'm always surprised to hear the stories, but hopefully they have happy endings. He's trying to help people with financial plans and with 529s. A lot of people making money with young kids. And
529 is huge.
It's huge. The advantages are huge.
I cannot stress that enough.
And it's so easy just to say, oh, we don't have to do that yet. Oh, we don't have to do that yet. Oh, we don't have to. Oh, I'm only 40. Oh, I'm only 45. Oh, I'm 50. And believe me, I know. So let Luke help you come up with a financial plan if you don't have one. 248-663-4748. They do estates, and he'll help you with life insurance, anything like that. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC, Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned other entities, and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here, independent of Royal Alliance Associates. And like Scott Kunath, he does sometimes, like with life insurance, he doesn't sell life insurance. That might give some people relief. Oh, don't have to have a life insurance pitch. That's not a pitch I like getting.
No, I don't either. I don't know that I care what happens after I die, so.
I'm not that worried about it either. It's like, not my problem.
That's right. Insensitivity, massively. And to people who aren't very tall, so I'm really, really sorry about that.
The hardest pitch I ever got for life insurance was when I was 20.
Oh, see,
a former football player at Virginia Tech had started selling life insurance.
Oh. You ain't dead.
And I knew this, and he said, I want to have a meeting. I was like, you know, when you're 20, a meeting about what? I mean, it's like, am I in trouble? Am I in some kind of trouble? And so I was like, is this about life insurance? No. Oh, okay. It was like the Amway thing I went to. Uh-huh. And then we sit down at Hokie House in Blacksburg, and he proceeds to hawk life insurance on me. And I'm like, but I don't even have a job. I'm so, you don't have to have a job. It's never too early to think. It was brutal. It was awful.
What are you going to pay with it? I mean, how are you going to pay for it?
I'm going to pay for life insurance. I'm 20. Who fucking cares about anybody else? I'm 20. It's all about me. So, Greg Roche.
Oh, all about boobs, boobs, boobs. As a matter of fact, they have some deals on saline breasts. They're doing all kinds of consultations. Soft, natural looking. Make your bikini and cami look so hot. And also, one syringe of Restylane, one syringe half off a $300 savings there. And when you schedule a surgery, receive a free syringe of Restylane, a $600 value. Plus Diva, package there, three treatments, $38.50, regular $4,500 plus a free G-shot, which is a $1,200 value.
Yeah.
And soon, Morpheus 8 coming soon.
248-338-1110 for Dr. Roche, DRROCH.
Morpheus.
The website. And with us is Matt Balaker, who has brought us a book about one of our heroes, Greg Giraldo, a comedian story. And Matt, I'm wondering what I'm so glad someone's written a book about Greg Giraldo. Were you a big fan, a friend? Is there some reason that you felt this needed to be done? Because it did need to be done.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm a big fan. I didn't know him personally. I met him once at one of the improv chains. But no, I followed his career from the early 2000s on.
I'm not sure there's anyone funnier.
I you won't argue with me. I think he was the not the best, at least, you know, top whatever of this century. I mean, just an amazing talent.
Just incredibly, incredibly unique in so many ways. So good on his feet. We had him in the studio many times, and he just floored me with his ability to, because all the comedians say, hey, just do your thing, man. I'll jump in. And I'd say, what do you think? 2 out of 3? It's like, well, he's not really jumping in with funny stuff.
Right.
And then you get Greg, who absolutely just kills it every flipping time.
And never part of his act.
Just no. He didn't need to. He was that funny. But one thing I want to say about Greg, because it was a real running joke, was his TV. You know, every comedian then wanted to have a TV show. You know, whether it was they wrote one or they were in it or they were the subject, like Seinfeld. And Greg, every effort just didn't seem to work. And I felt like it seemed to make him a better comedian somehow. Do people feel that way?
You might be onto something. I mean, I don't think great comedy always comes from getting what you want is right away. So maybe some of that delayed gratification contributed, just workmanlike attitude of constantly turning out really funny material.
I was surprised to read, though, that he had a lot of self-doubt for a guy who's Harvard-educated and brilliant, according to everyone around him, and also really funny and quick on his feet. And I wonder what he would think of people who are not tortured by self-doubt today who need to be, you know, like we're just surrounded by people.
It's like the opposite problem. Right. Too much self-confidence.
Yeah, he didn't have that. And he had so many problems. And I was interested in reading about as a child, was it his father that didn't speak English or didn't speak good English?
Yeah. I mean, they're both immigrants. His mother was from Spain and his father from Colombia, and Greg didn't speak English till he was, I guess, in kindergarten at age 4.
Wow. Yeah, his brilliance cannot be overestimated. He graduates Harvard Law, and you know he would have been a phenomenal lawyer. Mm-hmm. And I'd probably love being in a courtroom if he was in it doing his thing. But how was it hard for him to make the break to go, I'm not going to do law. I like this stand-up thing. Or was that just a lark that he thought he'd try it and see how it went?
That's a good point and good question. I think it was he didn't have the choice of staying in law. I mean, yeah, as you alluded to, he could have made a good career and I'm sure persevered some way, but his heart wasn't in it. His passion wasn't, it wasn't as if he knew he was going to be a working, you know, top-notch comedian, but he knew that the drudgery of being at a mega firm was not for him, and so he had to do something else. And I don't think that decision was incredibly difficult for him to make.
Hmm. It's interesting because everybody knows that story, Law to Comedy, but I did not know that the first thing he auditioned for was Tony and Tina's Wedding, that live dinner type theater.
Oh, God.
How awful.
I wish we would have known that when he was around so we could have asked him about it, but it seems like right after that, he started doing everything. He just jumped into any kind of, amateur night that he could.
Yeah, even he flirted with guitar playing. I mean, before he did stand-up, he would go to open mics for music, and he'd break out his guitar and play, and apparently he was very talented musically as well.
Because Greg is so funny, we can talk about it all day. Where's the best place to go if somebody's going, okay, who is this guy? Where can I see him at the top of his game? Where would you go first?
I would go to Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn.
Okay.
Even though it's not stand-up, but then for stand-up, I would go to the Insomniac show he did. I think it was around 2006 or 2007.
Yep.
He was, I think, at a good place mentally and health-wise. I think that's some of his best. And also, if you wanted to learn a lot about him, you know, warts and all, I would suggest Midlife Vices. that was he put that out in about a year before his death. He put that on 2009.
Matt, can you direct people to, because I can't think of the name of it, I saw an In Memoriam. It was, I think, an hour-long thing they did. Was it on VH1 or somewhere? Maybe.
Oh, that was called Give It Up for Greg Giraldo.
Yes.
Comedy Central produced it.
Okay. That was, I mean, almost, you know, like tears at the end of that. It's so hard to watch. I mean, it's so funny, but at the same time, you're just so sad that this guy's not around at the end. That was really a touching and just a fabulous trip. Plus, you get to see his peers talking about him, and they're all so in awe of Greg Giraldo. It's amazing.
That's a very good point. Yeah, there's so much admiration for him, and rightfully so.
The Insomniac tour that you were just talking about, is that the one where they threw, or they filmed a special for Comedy Central, and they threw Dane Cook on it?
Yes.
That was, yeah, because I remember we had him in, we talked about it. And he was very diplomatic about Dane, but you can kind of tell was not the biggest fan. So much so that the autograph I have of Greg hanging with my, you know, the people that we've had in, he just wrote "Dane Cook rocks" was his autograph. And I was wondering he seemed, I don't know how to say this, he didn't like Dane. Was he kind of an elitist about comedy when he reached that position?
That's a good question. I mean, I think I'm speculating, but at the time he wrote that, Dane Cook was such a rock star, and it was really cool to hate on him because he was making so much money. He was this clean living guy who was putting out hours and hours of material
and sappy rom-coms.
Exactly, sappy rom-coms, dating Jessica Simpson.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Greg was slogging it out the clubs, much more of a comics comic. So
an envious maybe. Position, because that's not the kind of comedy Greg would do.
Probably not. And also, Greg was such a gifted writer, and it's probably frustrating to see someone who's stretching, you know, taking 5 minutes of material and stretching it out to 15 when your craft is really a writer. I mean, you're probably going to get upset and jealous that someone is doing that.
Right. Yeah. And he seemed as though his comedy was more authentic as opposed to Dane Cook's, which was kind of very polished and.
Yeah,
and we talk about it in the book how Dane Cook likely had a great publicist, whereas Giraldo was more about, you know, being a Lenny Bruce type. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think he had a stronger cult following, but those that really appreciated comedy, and I'm not here to disparage Dane Cook. I mean, I remember seeing him in the early 2000s, and I'm not kidding, he was hilarious.
Yeah.
His career trajectory was so different from Giraldo's. And I think that would lead to some animosity for Greg.
You mentioned, so that was 2006, and then reading the one chapter called Addiction, which, you know, that's what killed him, really. He did a show here in 2000 at Meadowbrook, and I didn't know that one of his former roommates lives in the area. Went and saw him, and he killed. And then 5 years later, so this would have been before that 2006 show, he did Mark Ridley's and did not have the best show. And so people saw a change in him, so much so that he was even asking his former roommate for drugs. And
yeah.
And it was interesting because you write about, and you talk about the Opie and Anthony interview. It was around that time he blew us off for an interview, and something bad was going on, you could tell. But he ended up calling and apologizing a week later. So that.
Oh, my God. So conscientious.
Yeah. And it was clearly.
What a good student.
Yeah.
Yeah, and clearly, you know, these demons that he was fighting, I mean, I don't even know what to say about it other than he was way more troubled than I think he wouldn't even let people in on. Does that seem fair?
That seems fair and accurate. I mean, that was illuminating to me doing this research, just how troubled he was. And in spite of that, he was very gracious and kind to so many people.
Yeah, he had an episode at WRIF.
That's what we were just talking about. And then.
That was a different episode, I think, than the Ridley's one, isn't it? Or is that the same episode?
Oh, boy. I think I know what you're talking about. I'm just talking about the one that was a phone interview. You aren't talking about the time he was supposed to come in. That was the 05 one.
I'm talking when he came in with. Didn't he show up with a guest?
Oh. I don't think
I remember that.
I don't think we've ever talked about that.
Well.
What year did Greg get divorced?
Well, he never finalized his divorce. He was. You know, he left the family home in 2008. They were beginning like mediation, but they were separated. I think 2008.
Yeah, I guess there's no reason to get too specific about it. It was ugly, but you know, he was all these things are part of what made Greg Giraldo so great, I guess. I hate to do this, but can you, because I never really got a good description of exactly what happened, but what was Greg's last day like? What was going on with him?
Read about it in Greg Giraldo, Comedian Story, for the full details.
Well, of course. By the way, where can we get your book before you tell us about his last day?
Amazon.com or go to GregGiraldoBook.com. And it is in select stores throughout the country, but Amazon is probably the fastest and easiest way to get it.
We'll get it on my favorite things also here at the Drew and Mike show. But the last day, I just heard very vague recollections, and maybe people were trying to protect Greg. I don't know what, but I know he wouldn't protect himself. So what took place on that last day?
Some of it is a mystery because for much of it, he was by himself. The days leading up to it, he and his girlfriend got in an argument, and he claimed to stop drinking if she came back on the Friday show. But before that, he started drinking again. And then a fan gave him pills, and then he took those and continued drinking.
Painkillers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oxy. And then I think it was the combination of pills, coke, and booze that ultimately did it. But when he was discovered, he was by himself, and his girlfriend, and with the assistance of a hotel employee, got the door open, and she threw water on his face and started doing CPR. And then paramedics came, and they were able to revive him to the point where, I mean, he did have a pulse. And then they rushed him to the hospital in Jersey.
Oh, boy. What was his worst vice? Was it alcohol?
I would say it was some depression. It's hard to categorize, but it was something that troubled his mind, and then he would turn to alcohol as an attempt to medicate the trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But the vice to medicate, he seemed to always go to alcohol first.
Yeah, that's the impression I got, was that the other things were part of that, or you know, the coke might bump him up, the painkillers might bring him back down. And a lot of people like that, you know, mixing substances. It works for a lot of people. Unfortunately, it also can have some terrible consequences.
Exactly. And some people were very candid about this. Some of the people I interviewed who were in recovery, and they said, you know, it almost sounds ironic. They say, you know, fortunately, I would only do alcohol. Yeah. And it can kill you. You know, I'm not here to say like alcohol is not deadly. It absolutely is.
Sure.
But if you mix it with pills and heroin or whatever, and I'm not just talking about Giraldo, I'm talking anyone, you know, that's a really dangerous combination.
Now, the day he died after his girlfriend left, he called the fan for more drugs. Was there anything that happened to her? I mean, they obviously know who gave him the stuff.
Not that I know of. I know she left a note saying, because she's apparently stayed in the room. And this, I tried to contact the fan unsuccessfully, but we had enough, you know, corroboration where I was confident printing what we printed. But apparently she stayed there till he was breathing. He was snoring, so he wasn't like actively using. But no, I mean, you know, and I don't really know what. I mean, that's
he was a grown. He was a grown man. I mean,
yeah. I mean, she didn't force him to do anything.
Mm-hmm. No,
I mean,
I'm
I wasn't
sure.
there, but I'm pretty confident saying that.
Yeah, and I'm sure he was very convincing in terms of wanting what he wanted from her. But
I mean, you guys witnessed how charming he was. I mean.
Yeah. Oh yeah! Oh, absolutely.
You know,
that's
if you're a fan, you don't. I mean, I'm not saying she wasn't his mother, obviously, or a guardian. It's like you kind of do, and it's sort of true. I mean, people want to ingratiate themselves to celebrities or people they admire, and they'll make poor choices in that
quest.
Yep.
Well, just look at Leaving Neverland as far as ingratiating.
yeah.
You know.
Oh my
stars.
God! Yeah. I mean, yeah. Well said. Yeah. Very good point.
Back to happier times with Greg, who was the first comedian that really took him under his wing? Was it DiPaolo or was it Ross?
Both of them. Nick DiPaolo was one of the earliest ones. He let him open for him, I think, at Catch a Rising Star. And also Kevin Brennan took him on the road, I think, in 1993. And Giraldo left law, his first law firm at around 92, and I think he was still doing some legal work at 93. So those were some of the first two to kind of take him under the wing. And then later, David Tell and Colin Quinn.
Yeah.
We're going to play some Best of Greg from The Roast as we wrap things up with Matt Balaker. Greg Giraldo, A Comedian Story, Amazon.com. It's going to be on our favorite things on the Drew and Mike Show website, and you can buy it through the Amazon portal on our website, too. Good luck with the book. Do you know how it's doing?
So far, so good, but it was just released, so I'm sure after this show, we'll sell millions of more copies. So I'm forever indebted to all three of you, and I really appreciate you having me on.
Sure, believe me, there are plenty of Greg Giraldo fans in our audience, and I can't imagine why they wouldn't take interest in Greg Giraldo, A Comedian Story. Thank you very much, Matt, and good luck with it. Such a great topic.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Mr. Greg Giraldo.
Greg Giraldo.
Greg Giraldo.
Greg Giraldo.
Greg Giraldo.
Thank you, Pillsbury Jew boy.
Pam Anderson is here, everybody. You've caused me to spill more seed than Muhammad Ali at a bird feeder.
Speaking of anal warts, good to see Courtney Love here.
Gilbert Godfrey's here. Who would fuck you? You have the sex appeal of a school bus fire.
Virginia Nielsen's here. Good to see you sitting up, sweetheart.
Hulk Hogan's here, everybody. You're an old man who dresses like a Hooters waitress.
Look at you, you horse-tooth bastard.
Brian Posehn, look at him, that giant fucking ghoul.
John Stamos, look at you, you greasy Greek bastard. Jimmy Kimmel, isn't he doughy?
John Lovitz, you fucking gay weeble. Bob, you are a genital wart on the cock of American culture.
You've been in more turds than Andy Dick's penis.
That was great, Jim. I've never seen you be funny on TV before.
You starring in a show about books and reading is like Tom Cruise starring in a show about vaginas.
Look at his dais.
Damn.
Fat guys, old ladies, and an Asian. I feel like I'm on a bus to Atlantic City.
Holy shit. Kat, you're like Afro Sheen. Some white people have heard of you, but no one knows what you do.
Ice tea, you fucking fossil. You're so old, the first thing you bought with your record deal money was your freedom.
It's hard to believe you can be so out of shape considering how often the townspeople must chase you around with torches.
Your pussy's so big, Sylvester Stallone left his career in there.
Come on, John, there hasn't been a more feminine Jew in the closet since Anne Frank.
I've never roasted an oily cadaver before.
You're like a turd with teeth. Look at yourself. I love the crown. You look like King Lear got trapped in a forest fire. You're like a skeleton wrapped in electrical tape.
Have you ever not been drunk? You used to have a car that started when you talk to it. Now you have a car that won't start when you blow into it. You're such a drunk. When alcohol does its taxes, it lists you as a dependent. I'm done. That's a good fucking joke, everybody. It's what we call
oh my God. Wow.
I was reading about the sitcom, which, you know, was, like you said, a running joke.
Yeah.
I didn't realize this, and it's in Matt's book, that that came out of that whole Montreal comedy show where he got signed to write that, and the pilot aired. And there was another comedian there at the same time. They taped their pilots at the same time, and they premiered, about, I think, a week apart, both on CBS. That other person was Ray Romano. And everyone loves Raymond, and look at the success that that had. And there's a piece in there where Ray was always like, I don't know about this. I don't think the show's going to work. Real negative about it, where Greg's like, my show rules. It's going to be great. And he was in, you know, People Magazine and TV Guide. And then look at it, just went belly up. It just got panned and nobody watched it.
That's a tragedy.
Yeah. Well, he'd be so hard to deal with.
It was funny when he talked. I think the... Only the disasters episodes. Always lead to a lot of, I mean, it's weird talking about 105.1, which to me is like, oh my God, it's like talking about hell. And yet, people are endlessly amused by the horrid tales of the 2.5 years I spent there. I don't know why. And Mazzy was like, it wasn't that bad. And every time he says that, I just start thinking of 80 other things that were horrible. And also what was horrible was that I spilled a giant coffee.
Oh, my God, was that huge.
It was, you know what it reminded me
of? Was that a tanker? Because you had an entire roll of paper towels and you were stepping on
them. I used almost
the
whole thing.
That's the biggest disaster possibly ever.
I swear the cup isn't that big, and I spilled it, and I immediately had deja vu, and the deja vu was of, One time I came home late in the morning, you know, I put the dogs out at like 9 o'clock at night. And anytime I'm gone too long, they're always at the front door crying, like they don't want to pee in the house.
Right.
And I got home exceptionally late and Mags was by the door crying. And there was this puddle of urine that was so big. It was like, oh my God. I mean, I was more fascinated with how much he peed than, you know, I was mad at myself. It really wasn't his fault, but it was like, oh my God, did he take, how long was he holding that? It was huge. God. And that's what that coffee spill looked like. I immediately saw Mags's urine on the tile. Jesus.
You were stepping on that. I know you were trying to press it out of the carpet.
This carpeting. So, Trudy, can you do this break? Because I need to.
Sure.
I'm still working on this situation.
More carpet. Yeah, they come from all over Michigan to ask Dr. Yalda, Michigan's most experienced and honored eye surgeon, to set them free from the annoyance and poor performance of glasses, contacts, and reading glasses.
Disaster.
Which apparently I need. They've heard that there are answers, and they get them from Dr. Yalda. It's a quest. Almost. Last week, another 20 or so Michiganders got custom cats LASIK, the most advanced in the world. And most will get better than 20/20 vision. Others, 50 years old or older, will get multifocal lens implants, Rolls-Royce surgery that lets them throw away their hated reading glasses, the need for which is such a pain in the ass that it hits us all by that age. This summer, swim, play softball, read small print. Do all the stuff that enhances your lifestyle without the burden and annoyance of the old technologies. Glasses. Reading glasses and contacts. Even though they do also sell glasses.
Oh.
Don't get me wrong. So do what so many Drew and Mike listeners have done. Call for the free evaluation. Get the Drew and Mike discount and see stuff like you did decades ago. Call 1-800-398-EYES. 1-800-398-EYES. Or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. Get it done and enjoy the best summer and the best vision of your life. I got glasses in 7th grade.
Oh, I got you beat. I got them in 6th.
Oh, did you?
Yep. Worst. I hate it.
I know. I had to sit at the front of the class until I had a breakdown.
I didn't even know I couldn't see until I know. Mom's like, you can't see that? I'm like, what? I'm supposed to be able to see that?
You don't. Yeah.
You have no idea.
Yeah. And then when this happens, when LASIK happens, it's like a miracle.
I was talking to my mom the other day. I vowed to never wear glasses again. She goes, what are you going to do? I said, I'll just go see Aldo or get something done. She goes, well, how often can you do that? I said, well, by then, there's probably just going to be a camera they'll just install into my brain.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I can zoom in and zoom out.
Oh, my God, I want that so bad.
I'd rather be blind than wear glasses.
Yeah, you and Stevie Wonder.
Although the ironic thing is, he wears glasses.
I know, he wears sunglasses.
Blind, which would be odd.
He doesn't wear glasses,
no,
does he?
Why would
Trudy? He should. Oh, my God. That would be such a great look.
Real thick Coke bottle bottom glasses. That would be ludicrous.
He wouldn't know. I wouldn't.
No. Stevie, you look great in these. Just put them on. Just to help the conspiracy theory that he really can
see. He really can. And that he drives and everything.
Really funny.
Yeah. See your way to Zotford and Hollyford, the deals in the D. The dealsinthed.com are excited to celebrate spring by offering you 5 new Fords under $100 a month. Yeah, that's 5 brand new Ford vehicles with lower payments than most people's cell phone bills. 1, lease a new 19 Ford Fusion Hybrid as low as $77 a month. 2, lease all the all new, I'm great at this, 19 Ford EcoSport as low as $81 a month. The third deal, lease a new 19 all-wheel drive Ford Escape as low as $82 a month. 4, lease the brand new 19 Ford Edge SEL as low as $93 a month. Man. And 5, you know what? We should have all of these parked in our driveway.
Yeah.
Lease a new 19 Ford F-150 Super Crew XLT 4x4 as low as $98 a month. Sound too good to be true? And drag your ass to Zotford and Holly and see for yourself. Plus, Maz, Gary, and the rest of the hottest sales staff in Oakland County. We'll be excited to see you.
Maz had the new Ford Ranger. Yeah. You saw it, didn't you, Brandon?
I drove it.
That's right.
I drove it yesterday. I liked it a lot.
What are those like now? I used to have one a long time ago when they had no technology, so they must be really cool.
They are bigger in terms of the cabin size, which is great.
Still smaller than the F-150.
You're going to get better gas mileage, but it's a pickup truck. There's a lot of guys who they want to have a truck. They want to be able to have that bed, but sometimes the gas prices on those things can be, but I don't know. Well, I liked it a lot.
A lot of those, though, are, you know, like EcoSports, and the fuel system is different, and so they've got them so that they're light. And
Maz, by the way, there's been quite the response about him. His job interview that he failed miserably yesterday on the podcast. Did you hear about that, Trudy? Thanks for listening to the podcast. So he demanded to have a job interview with the network head of Red Shovel Networks about his spinoff show.
Oh, that's interesting.
You blew it!
And he folded faster than I think he's folded on anything. He knew it was he admitted he was not prepared for the meeting he requested for. You know, requested at that time. So someone had tweeted out, "Can't wait for Maz to get his own podcast. After the first episode, he'll go on vacation." And Tom replied to that tweet, "Don't worry, I'll fill in hosts," which seems very Tom-esque to have a fill-in host for the second episode.
God, he's funny.
And someone called it the Maz's Everything's Old Non Sequitur podcast.
Oh, that's a great title. That's a really good title.
That's what Maz thought, too. He replied, "Another great idea." And then there was a talk about it being about vacations and horses and vacations on horseback. And they had a picture from, what's that movie with Billy Crystal? City Slickers.
Oh, yeah.
And Tom wrote, "I like where you're going with this." And the guy said, "This is how it would end, though. And it's an emoji of a horse and a gun."
Exactly.
Oh, so funny.
I have the perfect career for him. It just came to me that I have a friend who is one of the sort of, he's the manager of the cruise ship tours where they take, a Motown.
Like the Chilling, Kid Rock Chill tour.
Chilling the Most and all of those. Yeah, and his job is to take care of the talent, make sure they get on and take care of their needs. And he basically keeps
them away from every single fan all the time.
That, maybe. And it just...
Kid Rock's not like that, but a lot of those guys, they don't want to be at happy hour.
Yeah, I know. Jerry says, it's like adult babysitting, but it's great because you're on a cruise ship for your whole job. And I thought Maz would be perfect for that.
You're also trapped.
No, he wouldn't. He would be perfect for the guy that sets up the guy that's perfect for that.
I'm surprised the bands
would not want to do that.
Aren't in mortal fear of being trapped on the cruise ship with their fans.
Are they? I mean, can't they jet ski them to something?
Yeah, I wonder how that works. They probably do chopper in some of those bands, the bigger ones that do it.
Right, yeah.
Speaking of Ronnie James Dio.
I flew in on a helicopter.
Ronnie James Dio's hologram is going on tour.
That's amazing.
I wonder if they're going to...
Is that a draw?
What? When's the last time you guys played some Ronnie James Dio?
I don't think so.
I mean, is hologram?
Though. Sure.
Why not?
Did you see
that? As much of a draw as any other hologram.
Oh, yeah. Did you see that they have, Tim Ripper Owens, who will, step up and sing in case the hologram, as I was calling it, gets too hot and has to cool off?
Wait, really?
Well, they didn't say that's why, but why do they need a live singer when they have the hologram?
Maybe he's singing harmony.
Ronnie James?
I don't know. I have no idea. I just thought, I guess this hologram, it doesn't seem like it's really, the Roy Orbison thing just... didn't seem to take off too well.
Well, they said the tour was going to be May 31st, Fort Myers, and last until June, which is...
Oh, the hologram needs some time off.
Well,
you got to reboot it every once in a while.
I'm open-minded to it. Let's see how it goes.
I wondered if they were going to make it, because he was notoriously a tiny little man, which we know Trudy hates that, because he's, 5'4"? I wonder if they're going to make him, 6'6" out of the hologram.
I know, yeah.
Why not stretch him out, make him giant?
Oh, hell yeah.
It's not Dio! B-52s with OMD in Berlin at Meadowbrook. I think I mentioned it yesterday. But
real people, though.
Yes, the real people.
Yeah. Did you guys talk about the Aussie breaking the rods in his back and neck and spine?
I knew he's been in and out of the hospital. It sounds bad.
I mean, I thought, he took a fall. How did he take a fall? But
there he is.
Oh, that's the actual rod.
You remember back when he was in that ATV?
There's another rod. You hear it fall out.
Oh, sorry.
I was going to say.
Rod.
Go, that sounds like it might be Ozzy. Play that again, Brandon.
That's a lot of clinking.
You hear the rod fall out. Picture
Ozzy. If it was ever to really be someone, it might be Ozzy. Maybe that is Ozzy. Maybe that's the fall. What's the medical status report, Trudy?
Well, Sharon's got to she's got to get him out of the house and on the road, making money soon. But he had pneumonia, and so he fell in some way, and the fall caused the rods that are in his spine because of that ATV accident to sort of dislocate. So it just shattered him, and he had to have it all put back. And I guess he's on the mend, but.
That's not someone that really needs putting back together because it just seems like it's barely there already. I mean, anything lesser is
pretty dubious.
Look what he survived, though. So
yeah, life.
You know, we were talking about something earlier that made me think of it. Jackson and Motley Crue, and just sort of going back and examining music. And last night I was reading, and Jackson was what got me to this. I was reading about the new documentary about Lou Pearlman.
Oh,
that Lance Bass made, and I just kept reading and reading and reading. And I read a book about Lou Pearlman, so it's not an old topic for me.
The Boy Band Con, or
and it's on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it. If anybody's seen it, would you please let me know if you liked it or what you thought? Anyway, in reading about him, it was interesting to me, to say the least, to see how readily people referred to him as, I'm not sure if it's more gay or more pedophile, or he just liked young boys.
Yeah.
But no one says, he did not! You know, there's a woman who says she was his girlfriend for 10 years. They never had sex because he was very religious, she says.
But he was nude around a lot of boys.
Yeah, and he also was going, hey, you working out? And he'd start rubbing their arms.
Oh.
And he, you know, always wanted to massage people. And, you know, he's nude in the hot tub. But
yeah. He's a little Biden.
Yeah.
Biden.
Gayer Biden. But he's never, no one has ever said that he forced me to have sex. Or I had sex because he was, you know, I trusted him, or I was drunk. He took it. No one has ever placed him ever having sex with any of these young boys before. Yet he is referred to commonly and without any apologies as someone who liked young boys, was gay, maybe a pedophile who liked older teens. I don't know. But it was interesting because I thought about Michael Jackson sleeping in the same bed with multiple kids. Even admitting he did it in deposition, and you know, my colleagues on this side, milk and cookies, and the feed, and all that crazy stuff. And how adamant so many people are that he didn't do anything. And here's Lou Pearlman, who was never busted for anything, never tried, never, no one's ever placed him. And I think a lot of his shame because. It probably happened. Everyone kind of suggests that somebody he did have a favorite, you know. But
you don't sleep with your kids or some other kid who needs love.
With Michael Jackson, there are at least 5 kids who were 8 to 12 years old who said they had sex with him in a bed, and we know he did sleep in a bed. And yet people Lou Pearlman, no one. Seems to object. Seems to be enough information to glean that from because
he didn't write or perform the songs. Is that why?
Yes, I think it's pretty clear that having hit records
gives you some kind of weird protection.
Yes, it does. It's like a pedophile shield.
Pedo shield.
Some people do penetrate the shield, it seems, because I don't have any doubts.
There's budding pedophiles who are like, oh, if I could just write a song.
I just had the Jackson pedophile shield.
Just get into music.
Exactly. No, but I couldn't help, and I know... It's kind of like
I'm gonna be a priest.
It's sort of like comparing outrage nowadays. Like, you know, you go, wait, people are so outraged because this guy said he wanted to date Nipsey Hussle's girlfriend, but you can murder somebody and nobody will drop your music. I mean, honestly, you can sleep with 10-year-olds and you can pee in kids, 14-year-olds' mouths, and people still love your music.
There's kids out there that love this stuff.
But my God, if you say you want to nail a widow of somebody that...
That's over.
You're
that's
done.
Over, I mean, isn't it just bizarre?
That's over the line.
And there's a lot of outrage to discuss today.
Great new fake outrage.
But I wanted to mention on the... Well, let's see. Oh, I know what it was. Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki played their last games, and it was both of them had great nights, and it was really nice. They both had great careers. But the main thing I took from watching highlights this morning was that...
Who would you rather nail? I disqualify myself because I done them both.
Wade.
Was it Gabrielle Union... was there watching Dwayne Wade. She's his girlfriend. So
married, yeah.
And she had the baby who was wearing these giant baby headphones. And, Brent, did you come up with a baby headphone alert? Thank you.
Baby headphone alert. Baby headphone alert.
Okay, the baby shouldn't be there. It won't remember. First of all, it's too loud. So, you know, if you have to buy headphones for the baby who will never remember the event, why don't you invest in a babysitter?
What are you going to do, not take your baby to a game? They love basketball.
No,
they
the baby.
They love crowds. Yeah, I know one thing about babies. They love being around a lot of babies.
That's true. They love this stuff.
We have acknowledged that with Scott Stapp and Little Jagger. I mean, what a great time those babies have.
I honestly don't know if they like large crowds or airplanes more.
I think,
love you, Jagger.
I think these people, God, I hate to be such a dick, but are they, with the baby headphones, are they trying to draw attention to their exceptional parenting?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel that way, because if you were that good a parent, you wouldn't risk your child's hearing. And by the way, what if the headphones don't work? The baby can't tell you. The baby can't go, hey, it's really loud and the headphones aren't working. they can't do that. So you're really taking a chance. And the baby's not going to fucking remember it. The baby's not going to go, oh my God, Mom, I'm so glad when I was 6 months you took me to Dad's final game. That was awesome. No, he has no clue except for the ringing in his ears because his headphones didn't work and he couldn't tell you.
Hey, fun fact about Dwayne Wade's kids. Did you know he had a gay son? Which is interesting because so does Magic and so does, doesn't Isaiah Thomas have a...
Yes.
What are you saying?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, no, I just think it's interesting that all these great NBA legends have homosexual children. I don't know what it means.
It on.
Well,
maybe.
Dwayne Wade's together is 11, though.
That is true. Thank you for pointing that out to you, Brandon.
I couldn't hear him over the chatter.
Dwayne Wade's son's 11.
Yeah.
He's already gay?
Yeah.
He's out?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's at the Pride Parade.
Yeah, true.
I'm not complaining.
Such a square.
I mean, he must be really gay to, you know, he's so sure at 11. And I don't mind.
How many
gay
people do you know that are like, oh, I knew when I was 5?
No, a lot of them. And I think a lot of people are in that pre-gay. Shouldn't pre-gay be a real thing?
Yeah.
Like, I'm pre-gay. I'm not ready to masturbate another man because I'm only 7, but I know I'm gay.
Yeah.
The sexuality doesn't exist. For straight people, do you think of an 11-year-old as being sexual? No.
Oh. I love it.
That's
Thank you, Lord. That's
where the pre-gay term came from.
Oh.
From Larry David, that little guy.
Bye.
Larry declared him pre-gay. That was one of
I would kick his butt.
That was such a funny episode. Is that show
it's
coming
like
back?
It's like the best show ever.
Oh, wow.
He takes his time making up his mind whether he's going to do more shows or not. I think that's why they're all so good.
Get a life, Jude.
Or maybe Ted Danson was unavailable.
I mean, has he made noise about whether he's done or not done?
I have no idea.
Usually he says something like, I remember last time he said, I've got some episodes written and I just got to get around to it. But what was it, 2 years last time?
Yeah.
Oh, more than that.
Yeah, it was.
More than that, yeah.
Ooh, exciting TV, though. Such a non-sequitur. Sorry. Game of Thrones.
I know.
I contain myself because that's on Sunday and the Avengers is Friday.
There's fake outrage about the Avengers.
Is that what you were talking about?
Yes. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
It's fake, and it's also been blunted already.
How so? By the...
Well, because they said she chose... Yeah. Okay, the story is that Brie Larson is wearing full makeup as Captain Marvel. Mm. First of all... Why is Brie Larson Captain Marvel?
What do you mean?
Because you can't have a female captain?
Seems like... I don't know, just... Maybe old habits die hard. I just wasn't picturing her.
You have to change your mindset slightly.
Who are you picturing?
I don't know. Like,
cast it.
The Rock. Somebody big and strong.
I have no idea.
I'm not a comic book person.
She is strong.
Was Captain Marvel a chick? I don't know.
That's what I was just going to ask. I have no idea if Captain Marvel was a chick or not.
I guess maybe in the comic book she was a chick. So that's I'm going to accept that and not deal with the rest of the things that I have to think about in order to decide whether it's okay to change the gender of Captain Marvel.
Because I remember that like the Shazam guy, was known as Captain Marvel for a little bit.
Yeah, but then they lost the lawsuit.
Yeah, and then there was also some comics where there was two, a male and a female, but for the most part, Captain Marvel in comics is a chick, a blonde chick.
Well, then,
like Brie Larson.
And Brie Larson, you know, she just won all these awards, best actress, blah, blah, blah. She's kind of the hot new thing.
Yeah, Allison Brie Larson.
Well, Brie Larson's great, but, you know, if she wants to wear, she's wearing makeup, and people, why is she Captain Marvel? She's in charge of everything. Why is she wearing all the makeup? And they said, because she wanted to.
And it's been blunted because Avengers Endgame is coming out after Captain Marvel, but it was filmed first. So it's like, oh, she had to put on makeup after Captain Marvel came out? Because she, I guess she's not as made up in Captain Marvel. Who gives a shit? Why do we even know this?
Everybody in that movie is wearing makeup. Men, yeah, that's right. Women, everyone.
Are we coming to a day where women will be criticized for wearing makeup?
No.
Well, no, because I don't think women want to give up makeup. I don't know. I feel
that's
like...
That's the point. Maybe Captain Marvel wants to look, you know, prettier.
Well, they wanted to... Well, I don't blame her. They want to piss and moan on the male director.
Yeah.
You know, how dare you? And this is...
Womp, womp.
This is, I swear, I feel, and maybe I'm just being oversensitive, but, you know, when there's a discussion in the media, you know, well, I think this is the men's fault. You know, I'm a guy, so I always feel that the male, you know, I know that part of the equation, and I certainly, when something like Me Too comes along, see, I don't go around raping women to be on the show or...
Well, that's nice of you.
Or blowing a load in a plant or, you know, all these things. They're not terribly relatable to me. And I feel like, you know, if Harvey Weinstein were, you know, 20 years old and he read about all these things going on and then he gained all that power, I don't think he would have, oh, no, because of Me Too, I know better now. Because he's an asshole.
Yeah.
He's sick in the head. So I just feel like these things are directed at really fucked up people who aren't. Were those people really not? Would Les Moonves have never done anything? He didn't know that you can't take a woman's head and jam it in your crotch. She's going, no, no, no. He doesn't know any better.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
does.
A borderline thing where you have to know the Me Too movement exists, that you shouldn't cram women's head in your. I mean, really? I mean, am I crazy
honestly,
about this?
I don't think he probably thought it was okay because he's probably gotten away with it many times.
No.
But he's never.
But to
he's
ever never, do it, you have to learn. Think it's okay or you sure think you can get away with it.
Well, get away with it,
but
yeah.
But most guys don't think that way because they don't want to do that to a human being. It's not
exactly.
That it's a woman.
Exactly, yeah, I know.
So, you know, does Me Too
hey,
really?
Where are the gay Me Toos? Are there? No, there has to be some. There had to be.
I don't know, but my point was going to be that, you know, some space. Of these things like Me Too come along and you hear that, you know, always believe the woman. And it's the same thing with assault, with domestic assault. Always believe the woman. And with Me Too especially, if I'm always believe. I mean, first of all, it's terrible because you know there's scummy women who are going, hey, they got to always believe me. I say anything, they got to believe me.
Well, that's why it's been pointed out that it should be always listen to the woman.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. And I feel, honestly, my true opinion is that in domestic assault, and especially when people start threatening people like exes, which they do all the fucking time. In fact, I think we need a new law, resisting dumping. You know, because there was a story today, it needs a better term, but I've always said this, that some guys don't know how to get dumped.
Yeah.
They don't. And some girls don't know how to get dumped.
Sure.
And today, there's a story about a car chase in East Point. It was the lead story in the new news. And this guy, the ex-boyfriend, his ex-girlfriend, is with another guy. And they're just la, 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 driving around like, yeah, we're boyfriend, girl. Woo-hoo. And this guy's like, what the fuck? And he starts chasing him. And she goes, oh, my God, it's Max. And so they're barreling through East Point. And they take a really hard turn, and this guy drives right into a house. The ex.
Wow.
So, you know, there's a million stories about that. You know, people that they harass the girl, they threaten them, and well, he hasn't done anything yet. You know, we always
wasn't
hear
there a guy
that,
in Hazel Park that put a tracking device on the girl, and she lived in Minnesota. She moved to Minnesota and he then followed her there.
Oh, yeah. There was
so many
creepiest
stories like that. There's a guy threatening a girl from prison constantly. He was in prison for beating her up. And he's constantly threatening her. And they're going,
she couldn't move.
Right. She couldn't move because Michigan would not keep her address from this guy because Michigan didn't have a law. And they passed one since. And I'm just, every time I read the story, I'm like, wait, is this really happening? No one can do anything? And I don't know. I guess I feel like there is... I guess I want something, some corollary, because I feel like when I watch all the things I watch in the news on TV, it's always, oh, men are so bad. Men, they meet two women. Men, they beat up women. Men, they suck. And always believe the woman. And women are cheated. They're, you know, men run the world. And so, I don't know. I feel like to a male, and I'm, you know, I'm 59 years old. I really don't give a fuck. I mean, I don't want anyone to be cheated out of a job because they're a woman. I don't want
I'm not saying hey, these guys deserve some protections, whether they Me Too or... No, it's not that. It's that the message seems to be that men are shitbags and that women deserve better.
No, they're shitbags on both sides.
Well, I know.
It is
that's
an egalitarian
and every situation is different.
Yeah.
Every time I read about some political correction, it seems to be saying, men are shitbags. And toxic masculinity. I keep reading about toxic masculinity. There's got to be some kind of toxic femininity if there's toxic masculinity. What about the Playboy model who's got this guy paying her rent, this 71-year-old psychiatrist,
wow.
And he's paying her rent, and then the lease runs out, and he gives her money to get a new place, and she gets her two friends to beat the shit out of him, and they kill him.
Yeah.
And she's on trial for murder now, which I love seeing a Playboy model who's partial, you know, involved in this murder with no makeup in court. Not such a Playboy model now.
It's a very scary time for young men in America.
So, I mean, isn't that toxic femininity? She's going, I'm a Playboy model. Can you help me pay my rent?
Yeah, sure.
Is that toxic femininity?
Absolutely.
Can we have the term? Yes. Can we please have the term?
Yes.
Okay. It would just make me feel a little more equal in this, at least this discussion.
Anyone is using any part of their power, whatever their power is, to
hers or her
to
tits
influence.
And her ass.
Yes.
Women are right. I mean, men are monsters. I mean, we're constantly harassing them. I'm just saying we need to be more careful so we don't get accused.
And we should probably stop harassing them.
Right? Well, you know. I don't know. One step at a time. You don't want the whole system to collapse.
Ease into it.
Yeah.
I mean, aren't these, don't these super duper hot 20-year-olds, 22-year-olds, 25-year-olds, don't they have a power dynamic over a lot of guys?
Sure. Yeah, of course.
Why? Because they're hot?
Yeah, because they're hot. That's power.
Well, and what about the...
Why'd that 71-year-old do that for her? If she looked like... This Is Us.
Chrissy Metz.
Chrissy Metz. Would he have done that for Chrissy Metz?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
His appetite runs to Playboy models.
Well, it seems...
And his wallet can support it.
You know, she's not a nice person. She murdered him.
Yeah. No.
So there was something... you know, I'm not trying to start something real because I know it'll never happen. Just saying. And then...
What about people like Anna Nicole who marry... old guys, and that's a scam, right? You know, nobody believes she was
scam.
In love.
It's a total scam, and people would have you believe that. Well, the power dynamic, he's a bull, so he's got power over her. And it's like, no, she had all the power. He married her. She's what did they get? See, really, come on.
Yeah,
see, we all know it's
we
a
love
joke.
Each other, the women, the men. We love each other. Everybody loves.
I'd call it toxic femininity, especially this Playboy beast. But let's talk about another relationship, because I spent so much time reading about this. I was so entertained because I watched The Making of a Murderer and Stephen Avery.
Oh, God.
And the more I learned about it, and I know there's people that think he didn't do anything wrong and he's a great guy and all that.
Cool.
But you know what? He's not a great guy.
He did it, too.
I don't really have a problem with the fact that he did it. I really don't.
Look, this is what... It hit me one day. It's like, oh, that prosecutor is a total turd. Just kind of an idiot, right? He's maybe one of the worst prosecutors in the history of prosecution, and he had the best lawyers in the state. And you know what? They still convicted him. Well, so the evidence that we didn't see in Making a Murderer must have been pretty compelling.
This is what drives me crazy is,
one-sided.
Yeah, you can find something in a prosecution that's screwed up. It doesn't make the whole thing. It doesn't.
That's why it's either, reasonable doubt, not any doubt.
He either killed her or he didn't.
Yeah.
And because a lawyer did or a prosecutor did something stupid, it doesn't change. We all know it happened or it didn't. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, on balance, you have to go, well, did he kill her? Oh, gee, it sure seems like it. Anyway, this girl, Lynn Hartman.
Oh, boy. Was she in the documentary? Do you remember seeing
her? I don't
remember.
Because
he did have a girlfriend or two in the documentary.
He gets 40 contacts a day from women who want him. 40 a day want this guy. Okay, first of all, he says he's 5'8". He's 5'2". He's like a human bowling ball. I'm not making fun of him.
Trudy rag on him.
He's just a liar.
He's got it zipped.
He's a scumbag, POS, murderer, liar.
Well, him.
And all of a sudden, It's because he's part of a documentary about him. Maybe he didn't murder this girl. Chicks go, oh, my God, I want him. What, Trudy, what is that? What?
That's,
I'm picking on you as a representative of your gender. We take shit all the time, and you got to take it sometimes, too.
Okay, all right, I will. I totally will. I know what it is. It's being attracted to something dangerous that can't hurt you because it's in a cage.
You think that's it?
Like a tiger at the zoo.
What if he got out, though? He'd be so famous when he got out.
Yeah, but people...
Wouldn't somebody want him? They would. I think they would.
That impulse is not governed by good judgment thinking, what's the end game here? Not at all. Okay. It's just like, ooh, that's a murderer, but... what if he can love me?
It does seem like they, you know, like this girl, Lynn was his girlfriend.
Have
she's
you seen
56.
Her, by the
she's pretty.
Very pretty.
She's pretty.
Way out of his league.
I know, it's insane. It's like, I think of all the guys that would love to be with her, you know, and she chooses Stephen Avery. What? And none of that. She's raising money for him. She's raising money for his defense. There's GoFundMes all over. There's all these fundraisers and rallies and events for this guy. And what is, meanwhile, what kind of guy is he? What's going on with him? He's in prison. He's got his girlfriend. Well, he dumped his current girlfriend, who was 75 years old.
What? Wow, what range he has.
She was quite a fundraiser, by the way. But he unloaded her for
Lynn.
What
else is she good for?
Who
she's all washed up.
If you can bring Lynn's picture up, she's very pretty. And
why? I still don't get why that. Just looking at his picture here. He has a Facebook
I know.
Page.
It's incredible. But she said she was taken in by the fact that Stephen Avery had a pile of women to choose from, and he chose her. It's like, oh, my God, everyone wants him, and he wants me. So that's what she said. She acknowledged it. I thought at least she was honest. So it goes beyond the letters, and it starts getting like, oh, I really care about you. And this person, and then all of a sudden he starts sending stuff like, yeah, send a picture of you in a white shirt. No bra. You got nice B cups. and she's like, you know, really? She makes it sound like she objected to that, but I think she sort of accepted it for a while. You know, horny, he's been in prison for a while. But it just keeps up. He starts calling her...
show me them big old titties. Come on.
He starts referring to her as my vagina and my pussy.
It's a good pet name.
Yeah, those which she actually complained about.
Really? That's where she drew the line?
Yeah, I think so. So she also said that he blames his nephew, Brendan, for his conviction. And then she also said, on more than one occasion, she said, fuck Brendan. I don't give a shit about him. Hmm. And also, she mentioned that, and this started bringing up the hairs on her arm, wherever women have hairs that go up when they're scared.
Oh,
their vagina.
She said that.
She had a lot of hair on her arms. I like it. It means a big bush. I like a big bush.
She was bothered by the fact that his trailer smelled like bleach when the police got there. And
it's a clean smell.
And she said, well, you know, really, you would have had 3 days to clean it up. I mean, that's what they keep saying. And she was trying to get some answers out of him, like why she should continue believing in him. And he said, his answer was, I had 5 days to clean it up.
Oh, and wow.
She felt his answer should have been that I didn't clean it up and there
it didn't
was nothing
happen.
To clean up.
Wow.
So she starts getting very, you know, having mixed feelings about all this. Anyway, at one point, they got in a fight because he kept saying that he wanted to live in the wild with her, like in the forest.
Middle of nowhere.
In the middle of nowhere in Wisconsin. And she was on Dr. Phil with him. By the way, why is he on Dr. Phil?
Well, he's
Stephen,
on the phone.
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, my God.
How are you, sir?
Pretty good.
Well, I am here with your fiance. Say hello.
Well, hello, honey.
Hi.
Hi. How you been doing?
I've been doing good, waiting for your phone call.
That's got a chance.
Okay.
Yeah. She's been quite anxious to hear from you, so I'm really glad that you're calling, and she's tickled to hear from you.
Yeah, it's all right, you know. I think I got the right one. I feel pretty lucky to have her.
Thank you.
She certainly is telling us that she
you deserve her, that's for sure.
Head over heels in love with you. So tell me about the first time you met her, Stephen.
Ball.
With all the pictures that I had at first, what she sent me,
everything went into place.
Everything went into place.
I was very happy. It was beautiful.
I beat off a bunch.
I loved what I seen. And seen. All the pictures were pictures. Kinda, you know, I felt that way with a couple pictures.
He's eloquent.
And it felt right.
It felt right.
It seemed like my life was coming back together, you know.
Brandon, it always sounds like you hit the button really when hard when I hear that sound effect. Doesn't it?
Brandon didn't play that. That was on Dr. Phil.
Oh, sorry.
Which, who was that? Was happy. Phil?
So why do you want to marry Liam?
Because I'm in love with her. Uh-huh. I haven't been in love
period.
With her my whole life. Like how I felt about Liam.
Yeah.
You know, everything is all different with her. It's real deep down. And
it's real deep
everything
down.
That you're looking for is all right there.
Because
you get letters all of the time, but is this the woman? You've never loved any of these other women. This is the one that you want to marry, and this is the
Shut
one you
up,
love,
Phil.
None of the others?
No, I don't want to love the other one. I had the other one on my wall. And
good for online, day, by the way.
It felt like I was cheating on her. So I had them down.
The
and
other ones.
And just put her up.
Oh, that's very chivalrous of him.
He took 14 women he talked to on a given day.
Yeah, but he took her pictures.
What do you want the wedding to be? Will you marry? Will you do it behind bars? Or do you guys want to wait until you're out of prison?
Well, I kind of want to wait until I'm out, which I don't think it's going to be too long.
Right.
No, yeah, right,
you
sure.
Know, so it's going to be probably right around the corner. But if, even if it did take a little longer and everything planned out right, you know, I'm marrying here, you know, if it's not that long, you know.
Right. So we were just hearing from your ex-fiancée, Jody, who was saying that you were abusive to her and that she was scared for her life. Oh. And Lynn says that she doesn't believe that. What do you say about her saying that you were abusive to her and that she had to eat rat
sure
poison to get away from you?
Lie.
That says it all in a nutshell.
That's all false information.
It's all false information.
She ate rat poison and I didn't believe her. And so then she did it right in front of me. And then
did
I
what?
Believed her. And
ate rat poison.
I had to go and had her puke. And then I called my sister over and see what I should do.
That's
then
good
I
stuff.
Took her to the hospital. You know, she's a good person when she don't drink. You know,
I need a drinker.
But otherwise, once you got some alcohol in her, she's kind of terrible.
Oh, she's
so
terrible.
Lynn has nothing to worry
she
about.
She murdered
as far
anybody.
As you being abusive or violent with her, correct?
Oh yeah, that's 100% correct.
Okay. I want to give you the opportunity to answer this question direct for
come on, Phil,
everyone in America. just straight up, did you murder Teresa Halbach?
Oh, what do you think he's going to say,
no.
Phil?
I had nothing to do with it.
That was a ballsy question.
I had nothing to do
with
it.
You know what? He lulls people by that slow tempo of his into, and then he asks that
sleep?
Question.
Everyone.
That was so ballsy of Dr. Phil.
I know. Hey, did you see the Gypsy Rose interview that he did? I was going to text you about it. That little girl who her entire life, her mother, Munchausen by proxy, had operations and she was confined to a wheelchair and they kept thought she had leukemia and MS,
I didn't see the interviews.
And other things. And so, yeah, she finally grew up and realized there was nothing wrong with her.
Oh, boy.
And then hooked up with a weirdo online.
Oh, that guy was totally normal. What are you talking about, Trudy? The guy had it. Guy had it all together.
It wasn't weird enough.
Yeah, yeah. And then they murdered her mother. And
that's right.
Dr. Phil interviewed her. And,
oh God.
And it was just painful because I'd seen some of the documentary that's on Hulu.
HBO is a great documentary.
And that one too. I just got really fascinated with this woman and how evil that was. You know.
Yeah.
I know. It's
as evil as she was, though, she didn't murder anybody.
Well, no.
Your daughter.
That's, no, but none of her relatives were surprised when she was murdered because, like, oh, and, you know,
well,
tons of people wanted to murder her.
Yeah. Well, you're making, she made her child sick so she could raise funds for, you know,
yeah,
house.
Exactly.
She's the crook and to con
artist. This is what is so much, such a joy for Stephen Avery is that, you know, this is what Lynn found out was that he's talking to 14 girls a day and they're approved by the prison. It sounds like, and she said, he's supposed to have hours on the phone. She said, he just would, this is after they broke up, he would just call her nonstop, just bang her phone constantly, you know, all hours of the night.
Wow.
Calling, 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 threatening her.
Do you have any idea how much snatch I get whenever I want it? And you know what? Sometimes when I don't.
So this guy has endless pussy, desperate to be his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that's so ridiculous is this Lynn is, she's going to rallies. She's raising money. She's raising a lot of money for him, for his defense fund. And also so he can, you know, putz it away on his phone so he can have things at the commissary. And then when he says, and we're living in the forest, and this is on Dr. Phil, and she said, I don't know if I really want to do that. He was so pissed that he destroyed his television in his cell. So then he writes her, and they have some of the letters on the story that he wrote. He writes like a two-year-old. I mean, his writing is ridiculous. And not to mention his spell. Oh
my, his spelling is terrible.
Oh, Jesus.
But hot.
Anyway, he's badgering her to get more donations to replace his TV.
Oh, my God.
And she said she had done so much fundraising at that point online that the money was trickling down almost nothing, which made him furious. Thanks a lot, Netflix, by the way, for creating this fucking monster.
Really?
This murdering dope monster demanding money. I need a new TV. Raise some money. And these idiots just keep sending him money.
Wow.
And anyway, so... Then she says, there's one letter in there, by the way. It says, well, honey, if I ate the pussy and it's funny to you, is that bad? Because she's trying to tell him to stop calling her my pussy and my vagina. And so his response, well, honey, if I ate the pussy and it is funny to you, is that bad? Because I guess she chuckled at one point.
What?
I know, he's so fucked up.
If he ever got out and lived with her in the woods, he would be burying her there within a week, wouldn't he?
Well, he said, though, that he was working on Buy You a Nice Ring, as in, he spells buy, B-Y, buy you a nice ring for you to be my wife. And then he tells her to look for a nice ring and see how much it costs, and then, of course, they can raise the money to pay for
it. Oh, can raise
what a fucking asshole! And all this is going on. And the prison, apparently, I guess he runs the place because he can call anytime he wants. He can call 14 different girls a day. So... anyway, it goes on to this point where she feels so used because she's raised all this money and he keeps disrespecting her and calling her my vagina, which, you know, she realizes that he also dropped his 75-year-old fiance like a brick. And then he told
her romance was wearing off.
He said that, he has very high sexual needs. He needs 4 hours of sex a day, and the 75-year-old, you know, was like very Faustian, probably all dried up.
Yeah.
So he couldn't stay with her, and so this Lynn chick is there's so much sex talk, which she's not really terribly comfortable with, and she just decides this guy's crazy. He every time they get in a fight, he just bombards her with phone calls. So she says,
"I don't listen to women yelling. I tell them to shut up."
She decides that I can't be with you anymore. Wow. So then he tells his supporters that she's
fine. I don't ever want to see you again. go away. I'm dating somebody else. I hate you.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, pretty much. He tells his supporters that she's a gold digger. She's a phony. And meanwhile, he's calling her constantly, screaming at her every time she picks up the phone.
Why is she answering?
And then his supporters start pounding the shit out of her. God. Phone calls, texts, Facebook posts, emails, everything.
Who are these supporters?
I don't know. What is going on in this world? I mean,
who has that much time to support idiots? Jackson people, Stephen Avery supporters?
Well, it's like the mass shooting victims. They get trolled for years.
Yeah, the Sandy Hook.
If they dare say anything about guns, then it gets...
It's over.
It's in triplicate. So... these calls continue. She's trying to get restraining orders. She's trying to, and no success.
She changed her number?
I don't know if she probably did. I don't know. Yeah. But she finally went to the FBI.
What?
Yes. And the FBI finally got a no contact order. So he starts badgering her daughter. And her daughter, by the way.
Is very hot.
her daughter's information gets out there. Her daughter starts getting pounded by all these people.
Oh, my God.
So her daughter then is livid with her mom in the first place for being mixed up with this dope. And so her daughter and her weren't even talking. Her daughter was so mad at her because this is all fallen on her now. Then the last thing they had in the story was these jealous letters from Avery after they broke up saying he knows she was in Las Vegas with her ex and put the money back on the phone because she's not donating money to his phone anymore.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And
the power he thinks he has is unreal.
It's comical.
Did she go, okay, I'll put it back on. Sure, I'll do that in a second. And then just never do it.
No, she didn't do it.
No, but at least I hope she told them that she was going to.
Yeah, so he looked forward to it.
Exactly. Yeah. What? It's not on there?
I was disappointed.
At this point, it's like dealing with a telemarketer.
So he says, it's so funny at the end of this story, which is all, it's all about him, of course, all things. He needs money, money, money. And at the end, he says, stop hurting me. I love you. And the kids, meaning her kids. Yeah, he really loves them. He sicked his supporters on her daughter.
Yeah, he really knows how to mentally abuse a woman, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He
really
sure
learned
does.
That well.
His lawyers, by the way, he's got like a dream team of lawyers.
I know.
That
lady from Chicago, I can't remember her name.
I didn't even write it down, but I know who you're talking
Everybody,
about.
Everybody, if you've seen her.
She spoke and said that Lynn Hartman's 15 minutes of fame expired some time ago.
He said that? Oh, she said
the
that
The attorney
about her.
Said yeah. that, yeah. His female yeah. attorney yeah, nice. Said that about Lynn Hartman. Class. So, in other words, Steven didn't do anything wrong. She just wants 15 minutes of fame.
Well, that's
so with that, she gets pounded by more abuse from every time her name comes up, it's like, whammo!
That's funny. That's that stock answer, which at some point people are just going to roll their eyes when they hear it from these people that are defending some
idiots,
low life. Yeah, that they're in it just for the money or for the fame.
Oh, this guy is such a piece of shit.
Yeah.
So then, and as if that story isn't sad enough, probably the saddest story I've seen in quite some time could very well be the woman. I think she's 20 years old. And she's a former prostitute. She's 21, who has become an influencer.
Yeah.
Oh.
She's got 113,000 followers.
Self-made. That's not too bad.
She's doing a wonderful job.
Self-made.
And her account was deleted as spam. And she says that she can't work a 9-to-5 job. She has no skills. She's a zero. She calls herself a zero. But
She's self-aware.
But wait, she's an influencer. What? On the one hand, she's an influencer, but on the other hand, she has no skills. She can't work a 9-to-5 job. She brings nothing to the table. She says, I bring nothing to the table. Wait, she's an influencer. These are our influencers? Really? 130,000. And not only that, she's got big boobs, but she's fat. She's not even that pretty.
Oh, really?
But she was
shut up and show your breath.
She was a sex worker. She was a prostitute. What's a sex worker, by the way?
A prostitute.
Fucking whore, all right?
No, it's their new name.
So she says that
transitioned name.
If she doesn't get her followers back, she'll end up a homeless prostitute.
Okay, sorry.
So she's more or less threatening.
So, I'm in the middle of editing, and my Instagram account got deleted. And
this
I'm trying to get it back. I'm calling everybody I can. And I don't know why it's not working out for me. I'm in LA because of this. I'm in LA because I want to be on Instagram, and I'm randomly just recording this to put this in the video.
Ugh.
I am nothing without my following. I am nothing without
Yeah, that's
my following.
True. You're pretty much nothing with your
and
following.
People try to hate on me and report me. I'm literally trying to be a fucking better person. I want to say to everybody that's been reporting me, think twice because you're ruining my life. Because I
need
all of my
now.
Money online. All of it. And I don't want to lose that. And I know people like to see me be down and be like them and be like the 90%ers, the people that work 9-to-5. That is not me. I am in LA to not be like that. I've worked so fucking hard to get to where I'm at. And for that to be taken from me is the worst fucking feeling in the world. It literally sucks having people want to come after you for no fucking reason. And it hurts. And I don't think people understand that, like, this is my fucking life.
Well, it used to be.
I am nothing. Move on. I was a fucking prostitute, for God's sake.
Oh, you have something to fall back on.
I was a fucking prostitute. I stripped every single day. I don't even do that shit anymore because I make all of my money online.
Yeah, boy.
So what do I don't want to go back to that life. From the bottom of my heart, it sucks. And the people that are laughing at this, wanting me to get my account deleted. Like, imagine if you were in my shoes. I was abandoned from my fucking family. I've been backstabbed from everybody I know. Except for maybe two people.
Just wipe your nose on her bare arm.
Three people
gross.
In my life. Three fucking people in my life that's not backstabbed me yet. Okay? Like, try to be in my shoes for once, because I guarantee you none of you would fucking last in my shoes.
And
I just
shoes.
Got back from fucking San Fran and drove 7 hours to try to get a fucking verification just for my account to be fucking deleted.
Shoes.
Stop fucking reporting me, bro.
Bro.
Bro. There it is.
What some of you guys have to realize is I have no skills. I'm $20 yep, fucking $1,000 in debt from
check.
School, from college. So I can't even go to college if I fucking wanted to.
Wait.
I used to work at fucking McDonald's before I did fucking YouTube, Instagram, before I had 100,000 followers, before I had everything in my life. I was a fucking loser. Like, working at McDonald's. Not saying there's anything wrong with people working at McDonald's because I worked there, but I don't want to go back to that life. I'm perfectly happy where I'm at, and
I'm
I
sure
have no job qualifications. I could never work a normal job. I'm worthless. I bring nothing to the table. Zero.
That's
I bring
she's
nothing
making.
To the fucking table when it comes to that. I always
that we need to support her because she's
just
a lost cause.
Like, I'm not work material. I will never be work material. So stop fucking reporting me on motherfucking Instagram. The last thing I want to do is be a fucking homeless prostitute in the fucking street doing meth. That is the last thing I fucking want to do. So stop fucking trying to ruin my life. All the fucking Ice Poseidon trolls out there.
What?
There's
have to do resume is ready.
There's your influencer.
You don't have to do meth.
There's an influencer right there.
Yes, she does, Brandon.
That's who's influencing the youth of America. There's one of your influencers.
She
right
doesn't
there.
Get her Instagram account back. She's definitely going to be homeless, a prostitute, and do meth.
And her life is ruined.
I mean, she couldn't have laid it out any clearer. She has no other choice, Brandon.
Work sucks.
What's her intent for that message? How is that supposed to?
She wants her Instagram account
back. Going to get that to come back.
I guess so.
I guess.
First of all, how does she have 113,000 followers? She's not that hot because the only reason she would have any following is because she skanks out. She's a former prostitute. She's got big tits.
Yeah.
And she wears skanky clothes. And so people push the like button, I guess, and they follow her.
Looks like you're keeping your bod pretty tight.
Separated at birth with Courtney Love and her.
Not bad. I mean, isn't
speech.
What a cesspool. I mean, if there was ever any evidence as to how ridiculous this is. Now, think of all the girls, by the way, who have their shit together a bit and only have 1,000 followers and are going, oh, my God, I only have 1,000 followers and Trudy has 3,000.
Maybe they need to show their boobs more.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's. Don't hot people have enough of an advantage? This girl thinks that... I don't have to work a 9-to-5 job. I don't have to get any skills. I have zero. I bring nothing to the table. I need my following or my life is ruined. Okay, does she think that?
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
Did she get it back?
She has started a new one since she can't get her old one back. It's Jessie, and she's currently at 5,000 followers. So she's 95,000.
But that's only 120 of what she used to have. How does she make money off this, by the way? What advertisers, who would advertise on this stupid page?
Every time she went to breathe air. And, oh, God.
She's a treasure.
Jeez, social media, man. It's just the new norm now. And you have to feel bad now for the girls who... You know, maybe they don't have a lot of followers, and whenever they put a post out, they only get 10 likes. Oh, my God. And then they're all depressed for that.
Well, you know, I've seen multiple documentaries on this topic, and it's obvious that especially for a teenage female, This is the dumbest thing. They shouldn't be on here. They're not fully formed adults. They don't understand. This doesn't mean that the world hates you. Doesn't mean everyone. It just means, guess what? The hotter people have one more thing that's quantified that says, I'm better than you. It's now in numbers. It used to be that, oh, maybe the cute girls got all the boys. They got all the attention. Now it's in numbers. Now the girls that aren't so cute, they maybe carry a little extra weight or they develop slowly or whatever it is, they have another way of being told that they're not for shit.
Yeah, but you're not allowed to tell those people they're not for shit either, though, people that have a little more weight. You know, everybody's supposed to be attractive and body positive.
Oh, that's, you know, I'm glad you made that point because I hadn't seen this story, but
read the headline of the story.
Love that Gillette is saving the whale. Plus size model is cruelly trolled after Razor Brand posted a bikini snap of her on Twitter, prompting users to mock her looks and blast her unhealthy size. Okay, Gillette has apparently decided to use a plus size model to sell razors.
Yes.
And this girl isn't just, she's huge.
Oh, wow.
Why is she in a bikini, first of all? Well, what the fuck?
I just want to say, I don't think she would be attacked unless, only because it is an ad for Gillette and she's putting herself out there.
And she's in a bikini in this giant gut. This girl, what is, Trudy, guesstimate her weight, please.
300.
No, I was going to say at least six Mandy Moores.
That's what? More, that's way more than 300.
It is? See, my eyes.
Look at her legs.
Six Mandy Moores. Doesn't that seem about right? Well, how much is Mandy Moore? 120?
Yeah, okay.
I don't know.
All right, her leg is 100, so two.
I hate to be this way, but when you celebrate someone like this in a bikini, you're essentially celebrating diabetes. I mean, this is not just someone who's, you know, I've always said I like a girl 10 pounds heavy as opposed to 10 pounds. Somebody that's too thin is, I don't know, there's something very unattractive about that to me. This is someone who is really in need of help.
In my
opinion.
Why is that an ad for Gillette, though? Why are they?
I don't know.
They're asking for people to make comments like
no,
that.
They're trying to, either they're trolling the world, trying to say, what is the reaction about this? Gillette's name will be everywhere because of this slob.
Yep.
Or they're saying, we're gonna go along with the whole business of everyone's beautiful, and we're going to put this beautiful girl who weighs 350 pounds in our ads, and everyone's going to love it. Which, could they possibly think that? Aren't they begging for what we're doing right now?
Yeah, they are.
They know it.
So they're not into the anti-shaming thing. They think, hey, this is a way to draw attention, just like the toxic masculinity ad.
That they did, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is still...
There is a lot of ground to cover there with a razor, so...
So they're getting this girl trolled completely.
Currently,
and any girl that's heavy has to see all this.
Yeah, which just adds to it.
Yeah, it just makes it worse.
Currently, 7,900 comments on it, 1,900 retweets.
You want to read some comments?
Sure. That one might have better plucked comments, that story, but I'll go through it while you're doing it.
Great idea.
The first one underneath is, so moved by Gillette's commercial. I just ordered stuff from Dollar Shave Club.
Jeez.
I love that Gillette is saving the whale. PETA should get involved with this campaign.
Oh, my God.
April Fool's Day was on Monday.
Ugh. I like, great idea. Imagine how many razors she goes through.
Please stop. Promoting this is dangerous. Being unhealthy is not a good thing. So where do we draw the line between body positivity and health issues? Oh, there's some of the serious comment. This post gave my phone diabetes. Wow, this is so unhealthy. Obesity causes cardiovascular disease type 2. I mean, do we really need this lecture, by the way? I mean, we knew it was coming, but sleep apnea, depression, certain types of cancer and death. Why would you show younger girls a picture like this? Another reason not to purchase your products. That's from Joan.
Thanks for pointing that out, Joan. There's a Sarah Gonzalez on here who just wrote, please stop, to Gillette, in which someone replied, this is Sean at Staggered Idiot writes, hey, come on, Sarah. Obesity's beautiful and totally healthy. It's totally acceptable to exploit that for profit.
That's what they're doing, in my opinion.
He's being clearly cynical, and the one reply for that is, high risk of heart and vascular disease. Like, did we just reread his tweet? He's clearly
I think they are exploiting her. They know she's going to be shamed and trolled. Anyone would know that, and they're looking to go to the bank on it.
Yeah. But so, to act like every commenter, though, cares about her health is pretty funny. It's such bullshit.
I know. Let's see. Other commenters chimed in, shaming critics for being cruel. I can't believe this replies to this tweet.
I mean, I can because people are assholes, but these comments are ridiculous. Women of all sizes shave. Women of all sizes deserve to exist in a joyous state without you dickheads lecturing them on what you deem healthy. Fuck off!
Gee, what's she checking in at on the scale?
I think the arguments both ways are what's hilarious.
Crazy how many of you in this thread are her doctor. She has a right to exist in her body at any goddamn stage, and she shouldn't have to hide it until you're comfortable with it. Unbelievable level of cruelty in this thread.
That's true, but just be aware that Gillette is the one that's exploiting it.
Others praise the model as... She's a... Wait, this is a model?
Yeah.
Really a model.
Oh, yeah, totally.
This is a model.
Yeah.
Really?
Right.
Okay.
that what... I always thought
I would like to see the models that she beat out. Can we please have
Giselle?
Can we have the file? Because I think I could pick a better model. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. Others praised the model as beautiful and cute, and quite a few wrote that they were fans of her swimsuit.
Oh, I didn't even know there was a swimsuit.
Who are these people?
But then there's Jared, who just put a GIF of a guy with a giant harpoon and wrote, "We're going to need a bigger harpoon."
Oh, my God. This is... No one would have looked twice at this had they not put this together.
Abby writes, "I love her energy. Thank you for showing that all kinds of people deserve to enjoy the sand and the waves and the sunshine." Wow. "She looks good. Braver than me." How huge are you? "This ad is beautiful. This picture is so cute. She seems so happy and adorable. I want to be her friend. And that bathing suit is so cute on her." No, it's not. She needs a one piece. And even then, people are going to go, "Oh, my God, did you see that slob over there?" Just saying. I'm not saying it's right.
But that's what people do.
I want to be her friend because she's fat?
No, because she has the courage. The courage to take money so Gillette can exploit her.
"I want to be your friend. We can get dialysis together."
That's somebody who just wants to look like they're noble.
"We can be friends. I'll look smaller next to her."
Oh, God. Anne appears to be used to being taunted, but continues to post pictures on Instagram.
"So this weekend I went viral yet again because some random people didn't like my body and had nothing better to do than to make sure everyone knew it. Normally, this would have stressed me out to no end, and I'd find myself refreshing all the things as the drama unfolded while simultaneously being distraught by the uncomfortable uncertainty these situations can create."
Well, if she worked on her weight as much as she works on her writing, like she could take some pounds off.
"Oh. However, this weekend was different. Ironically, for most of this mess, I had no clue what was actually going on. I was too busy meeting awesome people, learning about the future, filming shenanigans, and flipping people over my back." "Don't wait for anyone else's permission to live and experience all you can in your body."
Oh, jeez. Oh, there's another post. Two-piece bathing suit.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Oh, man. This is not the first time we have talked about her.
Oh. "I don't know if you've been working out or what, but your body's looking good."
Wait, is this that slob Tess?
No. This is a different one, but... Apparently she's
who
been a model.
Who is that model? That model was humongous, and she was so obnoxious, too. She just, like, basically, "If you don't love my picture, fuck you! I'm beautiful!"
She has been a spokesmodel, I guess, for Gillette before. Gillette's exploited her before, and she was the one that was in Times Square doing a photo shoot where passerbys were yelling stuff at her.
Oh, God, why?
Because people are assholes.
Yeah. Did the person hiring her as a model, were they doing this as an inside joke in the company?
No, they would never have got clicks for that campaign had it not been for this.
And you know what?
They're being
as humongous as she is, Trudy, she has no boobs.
Oh, yeah, you're
What's
right.
up with that?
She's the founder of a fashion blog.
Wow, you're right about that.
"We don't remember the number on our jeans or the shape of our hips and stomach on a beach. We remember the sand between our toes. We remember the running into the waves. We remember how cold the water was.
There's lots of pussy at the beach."
She said she was prepared for some people to mock her, but admitted the crude sexual things people... What did people say sexually? Oh, one man claimed... "I want to suck on them tasty toes."
What?
Another told her to twerk for the camera, baby. Show them how to, that app. Show them how that ass claps.
What a bunch of creeps. Instagram's really for the creeps, then.
She's, I didn't expect to be fetishized.
Really? Welcome to Instagram.
Oh, boy.
I'm trying to read through some of her Instagrams to see.
See that ass.
People are being mean to her. Oh, it's all positive. She must go through and edit
this. You know, honestly, I don't know why people feel the need to post shitty things. I'll look at it and wonder, what are they thinking? Is this selling razors? Is it worth it for her to get all these people trashing her?
I spoke too soon. Not trying to hate, but when your kneecap is a dimple, it's time to stop hating yourself and mix in a salad. As if that's what it's going to take.
What the...
It's mixing in a salad. Oh, oh boy.
People.
Oh boy.
Oh, people.
Wow. Now the world is a vampire, as Billy would say.
Did you guys hear about all the security required at the Nipsey Hussle Celebration of Life at the Staples Center?
Yeah, you can also buy scalped tickets for $500.
This is the craziest thing. Now, I realize that this guy has a lot of fans, and they have every right to want to do whatever they want to do. But, you know, they have to have metal detectors and bag checks, and they're warning people that it's going to take a long time to get in because... You really have to go through. I mean, it's like, it sounds like it's getting on a plane times 10, the security.
Wow. Jeez.
And
well, you know, that does seem like a situation where somebody would come and try to.
Well, the vigil, there was a shooting at the vigil. People were trampled. LAPD, the Nation of Islam, is going to be there providing security also, along with the metal detectors. And this just seems like such a bad idea. And meanwhile, Chris Darden and his daughter are just being slammed. And his daughter, again, his daughter. Why are people slamming his daughter?
Because she's online.
And again, I guess the platforms can't stop anything. They just can't stop anything. Apparently there's no, what's the
algorithm?
Algorithm, yeah. To help this girl not get slammed online. Chris Darden, it's his job. I guess, you know, it goes with the territory. Although I still don't know why. I guess a white person has to represent the alleged killer.
Why? He's black.
Because black people call Chris Darden an Uncle Tom and a lot of other names.
It's his job.
But the guy murdered Nipsey Hussle, so you have a right to be mad.
Although I don't understand why, I mean... How old's his daughter that's getting all the crap?
She's 20-something, 26, I think.
Shouldn't she know that that was going to come if she was online?
Even because your father's representing somebody? She didn't know Nipsey Hussle was going to get killed.
But this was after he started repping.
Well, she said that it's all a lot of deja vu because when he prosecuted O.J. Simpson, he was getting a lot of shit. But now with social media, it's much worse. Mm-hmm. So, anyway... I'm sure. I hope this is a wonderful service. And wish everybody the best. Hope nobody gets killed.
Oh, boy.
And Cranes had a story today about a real estate company from Livonia that has a deal to buy the Palace of Auburn Hills.
There's no details. What are they going to do with that thing?
They're going to sit on it, and it's a real estate company. So, in other words, this is what's so interesting to me is when the Pistons moved 2017... And there was talk about it far before that, and the story was, oh, my God, this property is so valuable, we'll get $110 million for it. And I kept saying to myself, that property, why is it so valuable? The Silver Dome was bought for $500,000. Right. It was built for, what was it, $75 million to build the Silver Dome, and they got $500,000 for the Silver Dome and the giant property.
Didn't they have a better offer from the city or from someone else that they turned down?
Yeah, they did originally.
Oh, no kidding?
Yeah, and they we're going to sit on this. It's going to appreciate
it. So now 2 years have passed and no one has bought the palace.
Yeah.
This incredible, and it's like, oh, one of the big three will snap it right up or, you know, some headquarters. And so it joins the many arenas and stadiums around here that just stand for years on end and nobody knocks them down. I don't know. It's the strangest thing. I don't know any other city that just leaves its building standing. It's very, and now, you know, it joins Northland Mall, Summit Place, the Silver Dome, Kmart headquarters. You know, there really is less demand for the, these things have to be repurposed in some way, and nobody seems to have the answer to this question.
Did you see Ben Wallace snuck into the palace when he was in town?
Aww.
I did not.
And tweeted out a little video of the palace.
Oh my God, honestly, it's still
intact. Looks like they, yeah, it looks like they could go play there right now because the court's still there and everything. Palace has been closed. It's like they just left.
Well, if they were still playing there, you know they'd be drawing a lot more people.
They still give me goosebumps.
Gee. Oh my God. All right, the floor is still there. A new logo, a new floor. It was all built for Little Caesars Arena, and they left behind a lot. The move, of course, quick, as the Pistons made a late change to join the wings at Little Caesars Arena. A bunch of bleachers, a bunch of chairs.
It's clean.
Ben Wallace hanging
out. Yeah, no, it looks like they could play right now.
Wow.
Wow. Oh, man, that would be great to have, like, just basketball down there.
Drew, the Free
Press. Pick up teams.
The Free Press has a list of things. Northland Center, Summit Place Mall.
Thanks for listening to the podcast.
Did you say all those?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Silverdome, Kmart headquarters.
And every
Kmart. Can you
edit
that out, Brandon?
Oh.
Did you mention Kmart?
Yeah,
he
I did.
Kmart headquarters, but twice. I added every Kmart because they had to tear the one down by our house.
Did you mention the Bloomfield Park mixed-use project?
I did not.
Okay. I redeemed myself.
These places being reachable only by car... there's just no reason for a lot of people to go there. Yeah. Whereas a lot of the buildings downtown, they point out, they are repurposable because people, or a lot more people on foot. And
well, the architecture is different too.
Yeah, and they'll use them differently. Not that the palace was a beautiful building, but
love the palace.
Do there anyway. I loved it too. And honestly,
I can tell you,
I wish the Pistons were still there.
I love LCA just there. But I kind of missed the palace for one reason and one reason only. It was so easy to park and just walk right in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Granted, leaving sometimes would be a little messy.
Yeah.
But it was easier than going downtown.
Leaving was ridiculous because they all shut off that one entrance ramp to 75.
I know. So, why?
Well, when it's
like
open,
a
it's
social
awesome.
Experiment.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Did anybody see the 9 today?
No.
Dina was talking about...
Dina. Oh, God.
They were talking about how we're being told now to stop telling kids to say they're sorry.
Oh, now it's that?
Yes. That they may not be ready, and we should wait until they're ready to say they're sorry. But
well, there is something to that, because they just parrot it. They don't know what it means.
Well, but that's kind of the job, is to make them understand what it means. And if they don't, if they're shitty about it, then they get punished. They've already something shitty. If they're supposed to apologize. And if they aren't sorry, by the way, and they're not ready to say they're sorry, then because they're hitting their brother or whatever, what happens when they hit him the next time and they're not sorry? And then hit him again and they're not sorry. And so you're really waiting for them to apologize for the first time they hit him, which was 3 fuck-ups ago. I mean... Is this, I don't know. I just feel like, what kind of softness are we headed for?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I didn't.
See, listen to how apologetic this guy is. Wants to redeem himself.
I'm sorry.
Ooh, me sorry.
Is it too late now to say sorry?
Sorry.
Cause I'm...
As Elton John said, sorry seems to be the hardest word.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
I still like Lovato, sorry, not sorry.
The today's history note, Charles Van Doren died, and we could certainly use some kind of a eulogy. He's certainly gone too soon, along with many others. Dead at 93. He was the quiz show
shining and sparkling. Thank and you. Splendidly bright.
Absolutely.
Here one day, gone one night. Gone too soon.
He
dead at the age of who the fuck cares.
Made $129,000 in 1953.
Wow.
Because they gave him the answers.
Played by Ralph Fiennes?
Ralph Fiennes. John Turturro played...
Oh, God, that movie rules.
It was a great movie. I recommend it to anybody.
Turturro's the best.
And by the way, quiz show, or the show, which was 21 or something like that, it was sponsored by Geritol.
Remember? Oh, Geritol? Right, yeah.
Sponsored so many shows. And Geritol, I remember thinking, that's some crap for old people.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Geritol.
Does anyone take
and
Geritol?
And now you're using it.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, it's still out there. Somebody told me that he was taking it. I think it was my brother-in-law said that he took Geritol.
What does it do?
And it's, I don't know, like, you know, iron and all kinds of different things that are depleted, but it tastes like crap.
Gross.
It's awful.
Did it ever occur to you, John, that your rundown condition may be due to iron deficiency anemia, or as we call it, tired blood?
Oh, man. I'm full of tired blood.
And if tired blood is your problem,
yes.
To feel stronger fast,
what do I need?
Geritol, a high-potency tonic that begins to strengthen tired blood in just 24 hours.
Just sounds legit.
That's quite a claim.
Liquid or two Geritol tablets
contain
twice the iron in a pound of calf's liver.
Oh, good, because I've been eating just half a pound of calf's liver.
In only one day, Geritol iron is in your bloodstream, carrying strength and energy to every part of your body.
Oh, he's dancing and laughing.
Yeah, because his blood's not tired anymore.
Take Geritol liquid or tablets every day. You will feel stronger fast within 7 days or your money back.
Scientific fact.
Iron poor, tired blood.
Nice. Let's see. Today, Thursday show.
Still wanted to hit maybe...
Big Magic Johnson. What has he done?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Magic Johnson. So there was a lot of basketball news yesterday. Dwayne Wade retired. Dirk Nowitzki retired, as I mentioned. And, you know, what I did not understand, Magic Johnson resigned. He didn't even tell Jeannie Buss or his bosses he was going to do it because he said he was too sad. They've missed the playoffs 6 straight years. He's been there for how many of them? Two, I think?
Yeah, I think.
And
he was there to get LeBron, and he got LeBron, and then he didn't want to do any other work.
Well, he also said that he wants his old life back, which is being, he wants to be Magic full-time.
He just was Magic during the NCAA tournament. He was at every state game.
I know, but he likes being the ambassador Magic. You know, the fun Magic, the happy Magic.
The one everybody likes.
The one that people don't say, oh, why the Lakers suck, Magic?
Exactly.
And it is weird, the idea of Magic.
Here is a man who's, he acts so holy.
It's Can real. We hear the full rap from, I mean, any reason to play Donald Sterling talking about Magic Johnson is, to me, worthwhile.
He made love to every girl in every city in America.
It is really funny, though, that press conference. You're like, man, Lakers really suck. What's it going to be like next year? I'm not going to be here. I'm Magic Johnson. I'm retired. See ya.
I understand the part where
so
he said
bizarre.
That if he maintained his job with the Lakers, that he couldn't go see Dwayne Wade's last game, and he couldn't tweet about it.
What? Oh, because
he gets tampering. He really can't go to the game.
He could go to the game. He probably couldn't
tweet
about
it. He couldn't.
Well, there's another.
Congratulate him on his great career. That's really so terrible.
There's a very interesting angle to this, too. This is from the LA Times. As word spread through the Lakers organization and the NBA, several people wondered whether Magic's departure was related to a yet-to-be-published article by ESPN that's said to address allegations about Magic's conduct with employees. The story is wrong, Johnson told the LA Times. He later added to the group of reporters, never disrespected anybody, never did anything bad. Am I tough? Hell yeah. You work for me. I'm demanding, but at the same time, I'm fair. I've been thinking
This isn't about treating the ladies?
They've been talking about that article for how many months? Everybody's running. Oh, they're writing an article? I'm going to say, why didn't they interview anybody at ESPN? I was doing something wrong to employees, disrespecting this or that. Why would they have hired me twice?
What was he doing wrong?
It doesn't say.
He's
it
got
just,
AIDS.
It just says it just says conduct with employees.
See, it sounds.
Oh, wow.
You know, has made a public comment. What, do you have something to say to him?
What could I say to him? It doesn't matter.
This is supposed to be his apology, by the way.
It doesn't matter. I'm hurt, but it doesn't matter.
You're hurt that he
stole your woman?
That he said that he spoke out publicly.
I'm hurt that he called me up and he said, don't do anything. Wait until you hear from me. Then somebody called me later and said he doesn't want to be involved. And then he released a tape that I said to him, that I talked to him in confidence. I didn't give any interviews. You are my interview. I'm deciding if I like you. No, but I mean, here is a man who's, I don't know if I say this, he acts so holy. I mean, he made love to every girl in every city in America, and he had AIDS. And when he had those AIDS, I went to my synagogue, and I prayed for him. I hoped he could live and be well.
Pause it for a second.
It worked.
What's funny about it is, like,
is that why he's cured?
10 seconds before that, he's like, I don't know if I should talk about this. And it just unleashes it.
There's a few of those.
Criticize him. I could have. Is he an example for children? You know, because he has money, he's able to treat himself. But Magic Johnson is irrelevant in this thing.
Okay.
He didn't do anything harmful to anybody. And I respect him.
Here's
and I admire everything that he does. You know,
he didn't do anything.
I'd
AIDS?
Like to help even more if he would offer me an opportunity to help.
Yeah,
I
that's gonna
like
happen.
To help minorities.
Magic Johnson had said that, you know, he would never attend a game while you were owner. Apparently, he showed up to a game today.
He would never what?
Attend a Clippers game as long as you were owner. And he came today to
I can imagine having a great time.
He's there at the
smiling.
Game.
Yeah.
It's hard to hide.
Oh, how
he's
pissed Sterling.
3 feet
I don't think it's worthy of even discussing. Such a stupid remark. But he lulled me into waiting a week.
He lulled
him. You know what I mean? He said, don't do anything.
He told you, you're saying he told you not to say anything?
Yeah, don't do anything. I know the girl. Don't do anything. I'll help you. I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting.
What you're saying is Magic Johnson called you up or you called him up?
I don't know his phone number.
He called
me.
You up when the tape broke.
I don't call anybody.
He called
I'm
you up.
Loyal to you.
He called you up when the tape came out. And he told you not to say anything?
Yeah.
Why did he say don't say anything?
He just said, wait, be patient, I'll help you, we'll work it out.
Why do you think he said that?
I think he wanted me to just do nothing so he could buy the team. He thought maybe the whole thing would be resolved in 2 weeks.
Now you nailed that one, Sterling.
Well, what has he done? Can you tell
whoa,
me?
Whoa.
Big Magic Johnson, what has he done?
Well, yes, he's a business person. He's
got AIDS. Did he do any business? Did he help anybody in South L.A.?
Well, I think he has HIV. He doesn't actually have full-blown AIDS. But.
Well, what kind of a guy goes to every city, has sex with every girl, then he catches HIV? And is that someone we want to respect and tell our kids about? I think he should be ashamed of himself. I think he should go into the background. But what does he do for the black people? Doesn't do anything. You call up and say, well,
he's opened a lot of businesses in inner city neighborhoods.
The Jewish people have a company, and it's for people who want to borrow money and no interest. They want to give them a fishing pole. We want to help people. If they don't have the money, we'll loan it to you. You don't have interest, one day you'll pay us back.
So
I'm just telling you.
Everybody?
He does nothing. It's all talk.
So are you saying that African Americans don't contribute to African American communities as much?
No, magic.
There's no African American. Never mind. I'm sorry.
The one time restraint.
Sorry.
So open though. God, kind of refreshing in a horrible way.
Yeah, no, very horrible.
He should run
There's
for president.
No African American. Never mind.
You imagine Sterling running for president?
I'd love to see it.
It could happen. Did you guys like the picture of the black hole today?
Oh, that was the worst picture.
I really didn't.
Didn't do a thing
it was,
for me.
There was a lot of, you know, I mean, it's great that they've finally, you know, like locked onto one.
Couldn't they have just photoshopped it though, made it look better?
Yeah, I can't.
I mean, it's really terrible.
No, it was kind of disappointing. I mean, I don't know what I expected it to look like either because it's nothing.
They should have just put out a pic, like just a full black picture. Just black.
Right,
nothing
like,
on it.
Ooh, that's really black.
That's what a black hole looks like, idiots.
I haven't seen any of the photoshops yet. I'm sure they're coming in the next few days. We're going to see it as the Eye of Sauron. We're going to see it as Hope
Golden
Solo's
butthole.
They mentioned the Eye of Sauron. The nerds that took the picture mentioned that. Hey, it looks like the Eye of Sauron.
Yeah, right. It was kind of fuzzy,
too. It was terrible.
So, yeah. But it is, what, a million light years away, so I guess.
Yes. I really just
amazing.
Do better.
Do
I was
better.
So unimpressed. I didn't spend a second looking at it. I was like, whatever that is next. I mean, it's supposed to be something really spectacular, and I should have been excited, and I just was so, it just dreamweavered completely. Black hole sun,
yeah.
All right, get us out of here, Brandon. Oh, wait. One more thing.
Just in.
We have an appearance we need to mention one more time today. And
oh, yeah.
That is at the Reef. Trudy and Mark will be there on 420. Visit the Reef for all your medical marijuana oils and extracts, CBD products, edibles and topicals. Let their knowledgeable... Let their knowledgeable and friendly staff guide you in the right direction. Saturday, April 20th, celebrate 420 and Customer Appreciation Day. That's a week from this Saturday. With the biggest bash in Michigan. Woo. Meet Mark and Trudy at the Reef from noon to 2, helping the Reef give out TVs, paraphernalia, and store credit, plus iPads every 3 hours.
Wow.
If you have a card and mention Drew and Mike, you'll get a free pre-roll. A pre-roll! The Reef is open 9 to 9, 7 days a week, and is on 8 Mile just east of Mound in Detroit. Visit FindTheReef.com. The biggest, the best, the Reef!
Buffalo soldier in the heart of America. Stolen from Africa. Brought into America.
That could be you.
She was fighting on your rival.
That could be you.
I'm going to get a little high.
Bring your car to the Reef.
Awesome. That sounds fun.
Yeah, the Reef, 420, noon to 2.
Yeah.
Trudy and Mark. Don't you? It's funny. I was texting Trudy this morning because this was something that sort of fell through. They had some other plans for this event, and they asked us sort of a little late in the game, but we're happy to jump in and try and help.
That's
the Reef
what
out.
Heroes do.
That's right. And so I texted Trudy to see if she wanted to go. And I didn't think until you said that you would. I thought, well, that almost wasn't fair because Trudy can't say no.
That's right.
Because I had already said no, and I realized, oh man, that was really mean of me.
We might have already said yes for you, knowing you were going to say yes.
Oh hell yes!
I know it did seem like it was just a formality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the part two of the question is, did you play any Squire yet?
So, exactly. It was yes. Billy
everybody
Squire.
Everybody Wants Drew is his theme song now.
Everybody Wants Drew.
Is that the most played Squire?
Yeah, I guess
or
so.
Stroke?
Everybody Wants Drew.
I think I hear that more than I hear the Stroke. And the other day I was like, you know, like bopping along until I realized what it was. And I was like,
Well, it's
Squire!
Interesting that I really think the 90s are the wheelhouse of that station, at least as a listener I do. And if they're going back, like, to 70s, early 80s, although he's mid-80s, isn't he? Squire?
Yeah,
I guess he's all right. I can't fight it.
I don't know. Yeah, you can't.
WLZ, another one of our fine sponsors here, 106.7, the new generation of classic rock. And we'll see you tomorrow.
See you later.